Hello.
Hello.
There he is, the belle of the ball.
There you are, Miss America.
The wind beneath my wings.
You
the
are
fart
the
between
wind
my
beneath
legs.
my wings. Yes, that's me. Hello.
What is happening with you, Martin Ferretti?
Oh, Nick, I'm so fantastic. I don't even know how to describe it.
Really?
Fantastic.
Wow, I like it. What makes you fantastic?
Just being me.
Oh, is there anything new in the Ferretti household?
Nope.
Oh, very nice. You're just on a pillowy cloud of happiness.
Just on a pillowy cloud of happiness.
I like the sound of that.
I'm drinking some tea tonight. Just no special tea, just unsweetened black Irish tea. My favorite.
Ah, but nothing added to it.
Nope.
Interesting.
Unsweetened Irish tea. It's so good, man. Have you had Irish breakfast tea?
I have.
Okay. I love it because here's the thing about most teas. Most teas basically just taste like flavored water.
Some, yeah.
Okay. For some reason, Irish breakfast tea has some depth to it.
Yes.
It's like I can feel like there's something in my mouth beyond just water.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
See,
I love
a lot of people like the English breakfast tea. I go for the Irish breakfast tea.
Yes, it's very good.
Yes.
I dig it. What's been up with you, man? Man, we have so much to talk about. We haven't talked in like 7 days.
It's been a while, yes.
No, it's been longer than that. I think it's been 2 weeks, right? Week and a half.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about, man. I went to the woods. I came back. I watched
yes.
a lot of TV. I watched movies.
Good.
I read comic right. books. Man, so much.
Start us off. Let's hear some of this.
All right, let's kick off with the elephant in the room.
Oh, are you going to talk about Bad Idea?
I mean, there's a ton of those. Welcome to 2020.
the company Bad Idea.
Oh, they're supposed to have an announcement today, right?
I thought it was yesterday. All I saw was something about hitting a button. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, there was something about, what was it? Something about the AI was taking over. Oh, here we go. Bad Idea now serves the button. Yeah, that's it. Let's see what they say here. Keep this up and we'll give you something to really click about. All right. Here's what I'm going to say about Bad Idea. They are genius marketing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I want to see is some goddamn comic books.
They're marketing bumper stickers and t-shirts at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Listen, anybody can have a great Twitter campaign.
Yeah.
I'm sure the books are coming, right? There's all
For
kinds
sure.
of stuff going on in the world, right?
Yes.
We're
yes.
heading for extinction. The aliens are upon us. People don't wear masks during coronavirus.
Comets are coming out of the air.
Comets are coming out of the air.
Yeah.
Apparently Donald Trump has like a clone or something. I don't know. Listen, there's so much going on right now.
Baseball has COVID.
Maybe.
Hockey's coming back with did you hear about the hockey? You probably didn't.
No, what happened?
Hockey is going to be, when you're watching a game, they're going to be taking game, like, audience audio, not from other hockey games, but from video games. That is not a joke. Like, huh.
Interesting.
I'm just waiting for, like, baseball or one of these, you know, one of these sports to actually, like, hey, you know what would be a good idea? If, hey, a Halo game is coming out. What if we go to that company and have them just reproduce Master Chief all in the stands? So all it is like a sea of Master Chiefs cheering.
Mm.
Like, I could see them doing something dumb like that.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be, it's just going to be all virtual reality, bro. You know what I mean? Like, there's not going to be any games. They're just going to mocap everybody and just have the AI, like, create a game out of thin air.
Well, they tried to do that with basketball back, what, 2 months ago? Having,
yeah.
like, LeBron against somebody else playing NBA 2K.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, you probably did get enough people to watch it, but a lot more than just watching a rerun of like Super Bowl 17, I'm sure.
Yeah, that reminds me. So I listened to Joe Rogan's podcast yesterday. He had this guy who was an archaeologist and got like disillusioned with the field and started doing like anthropology, basically.
Oh, neat.
And he just ended up spending like 3 years living with doomsday preppers to like write a book about it.
And now's the time to be with a doomsday prepper. That's all I gotta say. The one person that's prepared for the end of the world. Let's go down in his bomb shelter. Yeah, his or her.
That it's his name is my father-in-law. So I'm good. He's got the whole evacuation plan set up.
Smart.
But anyway, so he was talking about this bunker that's in Kansas, which I've seen before, actually. Do you know the YouTuber Mr. Beast?
No.
Oh, okay. So Mr. Beast is very popular because, like, he just – I don't know where he gets all this money. I'm assuming sponsorships. But he just, like, gives, like, thousands and thousands of dollars away, like, all the time. Recently, a few months ago, he did a video where him and his buddies went to the same bunker that they were talking about on this Joe Rogan podcast. And it's like, it's freaking awesome. And they have like tanks where they raise tilapia in there, and there's like, you know, organic gardens or whatever. But the guy was talking about when he visited this bunker, and of course, there's no windows. You can't have windows because then it wouldn't be nuclear proof. You know what I mean? But all the apartments in this bunker look like really high-end apartments, and they have windows, but the windows are just TVs. And so normally they would have like video, like surveillance footage of the area playing on the TVs. So it looks like you're looking outside.
Sure.
Right? But then he was talking about how like the guy's like, well, if, you know, if you don't want to see that, like we can do this beach scene. And he like puts the beach on the window, right? Like, oh, you don't like that? Like, we'll go to the mountains. So he's like, put the mountains on the window. And he's like, at what point do you just, like, not know what's going on? Just think about it. There's actually a book about this, and he talks about the book. Well, actually, I think it's a trilogy. Wool came out 15 years ago, maybe. I don't know. Maybe less than that. But a long time ago. Matter of fact, I think they may have made a graphic novel out of Wool. So somebody check into that. Julie was very upset that we're not live streaming tonight.
I like it. It gives me a sense of calm and at ease.
Well, I figured after last episode, since the FBI didn't come knocking and we didn't get canceled from Apple Podcasts, that we should get back to basics. You know what I mean? Just you and me.
I approve it.
Yeah.
I like the focus.
So, but think about this. So what if, right? You're a doomsday prepper and you have a bunker, and the bunker like has these TV windows, right? That just has footage from outside.
Sure.
What if the person that runs the bunker lies to you, right? What if he's like, oh my God, like nuclear bombs are about to go off. Everybody in the bunker, and everybody goes into the bunker, and he's like playing surveillance footage from outside, but like he can play whatever footage he wants. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So what if he decides to play, like he's got some movie that he made of like everything on fire outside? Like you wouldn't know, right? Because all you see is what's on this little TV. That might get a little philosophical, because that's like the Plato's allegory of the cave, right? Where all you see is like the shadows coming out from the fire. So you don't see the actual world. You just think like the world is all these shadows. So that could be really dangerous. That could be what they do with baseball.
Just have people playing morning, noon, and night, but you don't know what time of day it is?
They just have like an AI, the Google Go AI, right? The one that beats everybody at Go. They can have the AI play MLB 2021, and nobody would know.
Huh.
You see what I mean? Nobody would. How would you know? All right, well, like you could tell, because it's not, they're not like – they don't look like real players, right? Like, graphics are good, but they're not that good, especially on a console. If you're in a PC, maybe. But you know what I mean? Like if the CIA paid EA Sports like $100 billion, and they're like, develop the most realistic graphics possible so we can have a new MLB season. EA would be like, hell yeah. Nobody mm-hmm. paid for Origin. We're going to Steam, so we'll take your $100 billion. You see what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You see how I'm working all these interests and hobbies into conspiracy theories? This is how conspiracy theories work.
I like it. I like it a lot. I did just watch Getting Back to a Bomb Shelter. Mm. We just wrapped up MTV's The Challenge, and mm-hmm. this entire season was in Prague in a bomb shelter.
Oh, nice.
So, and they even said, because they just had the reunion last week, they even, like, so many people were like, that was the worst part of the entire season. Not mm. being in the sun, not being in weather, being cooped up, you didn't know if it was day or night. And to let them know, like, hey, you know, come outside, you know, meet the host, because you're doing a challenge or whatever. They would actually turn on the, like, warning lights. Mm. And the alarm, like multiple different times of the day, day and night. And it's just like, I couldn't even imagine doing that. And I even told Julie, the cruise director, I'm like, but what about everybody at the pool getting drunk? Like, there was nothing like that. It was everyone like training and like sitting in on like picnic benches. It was really hardcore.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a really good movie. Oh man, I gotta look this up. Let me go to Cirque's. I don't use DuckDuckGo anymore. DuckDuckGo is 2019. 2020 is Cirque's. There's a movie. I want to say it's a British film, but it's filmed in Thailand, and it's about which is weird because it's all like white kids. Of course it is. But it's like the last day of school, like they're in college and they're in a philosophy class, and the professor comes up with this final philosophy thought experiment in which they have to like survive a nuclear holocaust. And so at first they like draw professions out of a hat, and they have to decide like which professions are important enough to save and which aren't. So like some are really easy, right? Like what a busboy. Like F the busboy. He stays out of the bunker because there's only 10 seats in the bunker and there's like 20 of them. But yeah, it reminds me of that. I gotta you talk. I'm gonna have to look for this movie.
That sounds really uplifting and a happy film to watch nowadays. That sounds terrible.
It is called After the Dark.
Okay.
Yes, After the Dark. It's free to watch somewhere. I want to say Netflix, but it might be Prime Video. One of those two. It's worth watching. I mean, it's a little slow, but it's interesting how people act in tough situations. And by act, I mean usually don't act at all. Because let me tell you, Nick, I went grocery shopping tonight. Wait, let me rephrase that. I had to buy tea bags.
Yes.
Because we were out of tea bags to make sweet tea. And, of course, sweet tea is a staple of Southern tradition, and we have to have sweet tea in the house.
Of course.
So I went to the store to get family-sized tea bags, and all the stores now have mandatory mask signs at the front door.
Right.
Okay? You have to wear a mask.
Same with Illinois.
Here's the problem. I don't know how it is in Illinois, and it might not even be a Southern thing. It might be a corporate thing. I walk into the store with my mask because I'm a good citizen. And I look around. All the employees have masks.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two people that came in with me did not have masks with them. Right?
Wow.
But they were like fumbling for a cart. And like I said, all I got was the tea bags. I actually was done shopping by the time they got their cart, which the woman had a face covering, but the man still had nothing. Anyways, as I go to the aisle where the tea bags are, I'm watching Because I do this every time now, because since masks are mandatory, I want to see who actually follows this rule.
Right.
All the employees had masks. Understandable. They're peons. They have to, right? They have to.
There wasn't an employee at the door telling people, like, turn around, go get your mask, dummy.
No, but you walk in, like, at the registers. So, like, the cashiers and bag boys are there.
Yeah, and no one tells that dude, like, hey, go back to your car and get a mask.
Not a word.
Stupid.
Not a word. And,
wow.
And I'm walking to get to the aisle where the tea bags are, and I pass about five people. One of those five people had a mask on.
Really?
Yes. The lady in the aisle where the tea bags are, she had no mask on.
What the hell?
I would say, Nick, that like 20 or 30% of the people in the store, not including employees because they were all wearing masks,
mm-hmm.
20 or 30 people, or 20 to 30% had masks. The rest did not.
Okay. Wow. So, this is why when you heard back in the day, we need to flatten the curve. We haven't even flattened a curve yet, and you know the curve's just going to go right back up because of situations like that.
Well, everything's fine because the governor said all business can reopen on Monday.
Because
it's fine. South Carolina is definitely not in the top three worst states in the country.
Well, I didn't say it was in the top three, but still, with activities like that, my God.
Oh, it's like in the top five.
I don't pay attention to South Carolina. Sorry.
But everything's fine. So we're going to reopen everything on Monday.
Great. And the beaches?
Everything's opening.
Snuggle right up to your neighbor on the on a beach towel?
Yes. We're all just going to have COVID parties. Okay?
Oh, good.
We're all going to hug each other because it's been so long. And then
you're just prepping to send your kids back to school. That's all you're doing.
Well, we are doing that.
Of course. Everyone is.
Yes. We're sending it back to school. We had discussions about this with my wife. We decided that it was the right thing to do. I spoke with Zoe's mom, and she was a little hesitant, but we decided to do that as well. Listen, here's the thing. If the store says to wear a goddamn mask, why are you not wearing a mask? I'm going to tell you why. Number one, people are stupid. Number two, the store has no power to tell you not to wear your mask. Because let me tell you what happens. This little cashier, 16-year-old girl that gets paid $7 an hour to run a register, or whatever they get paid, is not going to confront like a 50-year-old man and tell him to put on his mask. Because he will tell her to piss off. And then what's going to happen? It's going to be a whole big argument, blah, blah, blah. They're going to lose a customer. Some places don't want to lose customers. They're already hurting. So they'll just make it like, we recommend. Even though the sign says you got to wear a goddamn mask. You see what I mean?
So in other words, the stupid people win. Is that what you're telling me?
Of course the stupid people win. Here's what happened, Nick. I don't know if you I know you remember because you're a little older than I am. But I would say, 25 years ago, we started this whole cultural thing that everybody had to win participation awards.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we've created a society of fucking idiots that feel like they can do whatever they want because it's a free country. And I'm here to tell you, it is not a free country, number one. Number two, going into a store that tells you to wear a mask has nothing to do with your First Amendment rights. It's a private corporation.
That's the thing. It is a private corporation, so they could tell you to go back to your car and get a mask. The sad thing is they won't because you're right, they're hurting. Except yes. I will say, and this might just be a corporate thing, Target is pretty good with sending people back out to the car. I've seen it.
Mm.
So, which, good for them, but I think that's a corporate mandate more than an individual store.
So I did go to Target last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody. I didn't see anybody having to say, no, you got to turn around, get your mask, blah, blah, blah. No, nothing. Everybody mm-hmm. that was walking in and walking out had a mask.
That's how you have to be.
Okay. Now, while walking around and people are shopping, you do see some, like, bring their mask down. Because
some nose breathers?
I'm a nose breather. I don't breathe through my mouth.
No, I'm saying that they have to pop the mask down to breathe through their nose.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I only breathe through my nose, and I breathe perfectly fine with a mask. I hate it, and it makes me so hot. but I do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a conscientious person.
You're a good boy.
I mean, I don't know about that. But if I have COVID, I don't want to give somebody else COVID. You know what I mean?
Right. Sure.
In particular, like if I go in public, I don't want to bring it back and give it to the family who doesn't go anywhere because they're afraid to walk outside.
That's but I have to say, I am part of the participation trophy generation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when the phrase "the customer's always right" came into form.
The worst.
It is the worst. And I was also part of the problem because I worked at Burger King. And if you remember right around that same time, you could have it your way.
You got to have it your way.
Yeah. You don't want pickles on that? Just let us know.
You know, instead of saying
we make every hamburger to order, why would you say that when you can have it your way? Because everyone's a winner.
In high school, we made the make us Big Macs at Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we wanted.
Well, I worked at Burger King. Trust me. I've made plenty of Big Macs. That's right.
But you see what happens, right? If the customer's always right and you can have it your way, that means I can do whatever the hell I want.
This is the problem.
And that's not the way society works, Nick.
You know what would be good is if we could step back just a little in the Wayback Machine so we can feel confident enough to publicly shame some of these people.
Mm.
The bad thing is, how many of these people would feel shame? Or would they go on the offensive like you see all of these viral videos hitting, where people just flip the F out and start, you know, throwing up their hands and looking like they're going to spit in someone's face. It's like, oh my God, they just become so aggressive. And I get it. Being cooped up at home, I'm a little aggressive. I'm ready to take it out on somebody. But the sad thing is I don't see them seeing any wrong with it.
Mm, that's right. So here's the way that I look at it, right? I'm not going to be like, don't be an asshole, put on your mask. Okay?
I would do that.
I'm doing that on the show because I like to play a character on the show. But in real life, I don't do that, right? If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. You want to get COVID and die? Cool. That's your prerogative. You know what I mean? My prerogative is to make sure my family doesn't get it. Okay? That's my responsibility.
Yeah, but I don't need their grossness with sans mask. I don't need that coming over into my 6 feet of space.
Sure. Sure.
That's just like every time like people go out for walks on the sidewalk. And like at the beginning of this, people would, if you're walking towards somebody on the sidewalk, let me just skip over into the street and walk 6 feet away and then switch back. But all these GD joggers and runners, they just zip right by you. They have no clue of public space, nothing. They don't care because in their head, they're physically fit. They're not going to catch this COVID.
True.
F that.
F that guy.
Yes. Right?
So that's the problem. The problem is when you get participation awards, you don't think of the collective. You only think of yourself.
Yep.
You know, this is how the Roman Empire ended. You know, Philip K. Dick likes to say the empire never ended. Well, that's partially true. Maybe up high. Down low, those people ended because they were all idiots. They would shit and pee on the sidewalk and not clean it up.
Did they end because all of the awesome orgies stopped for whatever reason? Is that why it ended? Like, the empire's over. No more orgies? F this place.
That's funny. Actually, I was reading an article that recently that part of the reason the empire fell, I mean, there were many reasons, but part of it was there was some spice that was being traded with India that quit being traded. And so, like, the economy tanked. So that was one of the reasons. I mean, I'm sure it didn't help that they had their pipes made out of lead. You know what I mean? Like, they probably all went retarded. But there's many a reason. But anyways, here's the way I look at it, right? Like, it's tough. I want to be like, hey, think about other people, right?
Uh-huh.
Or like, think about your family, right? If you believe it's fake, cool. Right. That's fine if you don't believe it's a real thing. But if other people think it's a real thing, just like entertain me for a minute. Just put on a mask for the 10 minutes you're in the store, right? When you go out on the sidewalk, take it off. How hard is that? Not that hard, right? Whether you believe it's real or not, it's not that hard. So if we end up having an American society that collapses in a couple years because millions of people die of COVID, then all I got to say is, well, good. We're fucking idiots and we deserve it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And I mean a collective we. Because there are people smart enough to actually think about others. Now, what they should do is have Bad Idea create a marketing campaign on why you should wear masks, and then everyone would wear one, because those guys, marketing geniuses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like how you wrap that back around.
Hey, this is what I do. I'm quick on my feet.
You know what's really... And then we can move on about this whole COVID thing. When Trump was getting elected back in the day, 4 years ago, I went on to my social media feeds and I would just edit out mentions and whatnot. And if I was on Facebook, which I know you're not, but if I was on Facebook, every once in a while I'd have to go to a semi-distant friend, maybe from high school or college, and I would have to just mute their feed. Don't need to hear all this political crap, pro or con. I don't need it in my feed. No, thank you. I think I've done that more with COVID. The idiots coming out of the woodwork and posting up dumb videos or whatever. And it's just like, wait, are you telling me that you just selectively love science? Like you have a phone in your pocket that's a mini computer. Obviously you like science.
Of course.
You do ABC. Obviously you like science because you do this, this, and this. But oh my God, the amount of like, just because you can't see something and it's being done through science, seeing is not believing. But yet, oh my God, you know, if they have to put something on faith, ay, 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 right there.
All right. I would hate to talk about this topic. So I'm going to very briefly gloss it over. Okay.
Yeah. Of course.
There are a great many good religious people of all faiths.
For sure.
Okay. But I'm going to target here the conservative right wing Christian folks. Many of whom are very nice people, okay? As our president likes to say, the nicest people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in it because they can't see it, but they're so fervent about their belief in God, in which they also cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
So just like you have faith that it exists because you feel like there's certain things that maybe make God a reality for you, the same is true of COVID. If people are getting sick, there's probably something going on. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they guise it under these are false numbers. These are doctors putting flus or colds under COVID so that they can get a boost when it comes to like federal money, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I've heard all of that. But you can't tell me the death tolls aren't, even if they're padding, they ain't padding that much, dum-dum. Like, oh my God. Like, it is freak. Like I said, I think I'm muting more conversations on social channels because of COVID. And I hate to say it, I'm talking like direct family people at this point. Like you can't be believing it. And I even told my wife, because you know me, I am Professor Positive. I am rainbow unicorns. I get so frustrated that last week I even told Julie, the cruise director, I even said to her in a joking way, but, you know, sort of thinking it in the back of my head. It's like, what does this have to take? Does this have to take like their direct loved one to catch it? Because at this point, even though like New Lenox has 314 cases last week, like that's in your town and you still poo-poo it. Like, does it have to take a loved one, a direct loved one, to come down with it before you're like, maybe there is something about this COVID thing. Who would have thought? Huh? It's just like, oh my God, the level of dumb. It's A Confederacy of Dunces, which is a great book. I highly recommend reading it.
That is a good book.
Can I suggest another book to you, my friend?
Of course.
You know, I suggested, what was it, 2 years ago, last year, that book about the science of food.
Yes.
About how they introduced natural flavors, how they introduced artificial colors, just how science can make your food better? Question mark. But, you know, hey, it depends on where you fall. I just love that science is doing stuff like that. That's craziness. Hmm. But do you like the author Michael Pollan?
Sounds familiar.
Omnivore's Dilemma.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's interesting.
Have you read his latest book?
Uh-uh.
How to Change Your Mind.
It's all
about the new science of psychedelics.
Hello. And,
I'll read the full title. How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence.
Yes.
This book I heard from a podcast.
Wait, are you reading this?
I want to now, but yes. I just heard about it last week. So okay. I heard about it on a podcast, and I found it fascinating that Michael Pollan is like a very well-respected author. And to think that he went and did all of these drugs so he could actually write about it and not just take people's opinions and research it, I found that fascinating.
Yeah, so what's interesting about this book, now that you've mentioned this whole thing, I remember the controversy.
Good, okay.
So I have not read this book because I don't need to know how to change my mind using psychedelics. Hello, welcome to the Nerdy Legion. But when this book came out, a lot of people were really happy that somebody like Michael Pollan was talking about using psychedelics as medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to treat like serious mental issues. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, it's kind of become a little more mainstream where there are foundations coming up, like researching LSD and like ketamine, psilocybin, all this kind of stuff in order to treat depression, addiction, PTSD, like all kinds of things, anxiety.
That sounds like a positive already.
Yes. But at the same time, there were people like, well, who does Michael Pollan think he is? Like, we've been talking about this for 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, there's always those people. There's always those people.
Of course, but you also have to look at it like somebody of his stature is shining a bigger, brighter spotlight on it.
Of course. Of course.
It's insane to criticize it.
That's the thing, right? Like, yes, you may have had the idea before, but like you weren't just like a regular ass mainstream guy that like moms went out and bought your books, right? Like your books were for like the hippy dippy crowd that smoked weed 24/7. So you were just preaching to the choir, right?
Your graduate paper. How many eyes are on that? Come on.
This guy is just like a regular dude. And sometimes it takes a regular dude to present these ideas in a way that a regular dude would understand.
It's like Malcolm Gladwell. Like, guess what? If he writes about something, it's going to put a huge spotlight on that topic because he brings a hell of a lot more people over to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Same with Coates writing Captain America and Black Panther. Like, he has a fan base. He's going to put more eyes on that topic. Pretty smart Marvel to bring him on.
Listen, put a pin on that because that Wakanda book is the true Avengers book. The Avengers book is terrible. we're going to get to that. Don't you worry. Okay. There will be plenty of comic talk this episode.
Ooh, all right.
Okay. Yeah, there was another guy that was like that. I don't know if you're familiar with Deepak Chopra.
Hell yeah. Uh-huh.
But like he was a skeptic for forever. And then he went to the jungle and drank ayahuasca, and now, like, all he talks about is that.
Good. That just sounds like a very smart person who's open for changes.
Exactly.
You have to be open for change. I mean, and you definitely know that because you're always on a journey.
I'm changing every day.
Yeah, if you weren't open for change in your life or the world around you, my God, why would you even be doing that? You wouldn't.
Listen, the Buddhists have a great quote, and it goes something akin to the only constant in life is change.
I like it.
That's very true.
I like it.
Don't worry, folks. This is not one of those episodes. We're going back to basics.
Well, it can be whatever we want it to be. Well, heck, I wanted to talk about the Michael Pollan book, so guess what? Shoehorn that in wherever I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, I'm very careful when talking about psychedelics because I don't want to say, like, everybody should go do it. You know what I mean?
No, of course not.
I really want to say it, but I don't say it because right. I don't want to be like responsible for anybody to have like a bad trip or whatever. Although I would say like the bad trips, if you know how to understand them, then you can get more out of them than just like, whoa, dude, I see colors. That's so cool. But there's some real good science behind all this stuff. I actually just watched a video, I think it was on Vice, about a ketamine study in the UK to treat alcohol addiction.
Huh.
And it was really interesting. And they gave this dude a shit ton of ketamine. Ketamine is a horse tranquilizer for anyone not familiar. It's often used as a party drug. The problem with ketamine is that it's a dissociative. And so you get this, like, on a strong enough dose, you get this really strong sense of not existing. And it is very difficult to handle if you don't prepare yourself. But people use it as a party drug all the time.
Sure.
But it takes more work to understand what's happening than if you just like smoke weed or like eat some mushrooms. They gave this guy like it was like 15 times the dosage.
Jesus.
That you normally take for like recreational use. And they did this whole like psychology experiment on it basically, where they sat him in front of a laptop and it was like one of those things that like pops up messages on the screen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And gives him directions. So it's like, okay, they set a half a glass of beer next to him. And they're like, here's a glass of beer. Do not drink it. Right? And it's like, okay, whatever. And so like they start to drip. And like 30 minutes later, they're like, okay, pick up the beer and look at it. All right, put the beer back. Do not drink the beer. All right, now pick up the beer and you can take a sip out of it. Pour the beer back. All right, now pick it up and stare at it. All right, now chug the beer. All right, put the beer back. All right, like these kind of instructions, really simple.
Mm-hmm.
While he's on like this massive dose of ketamine. And they went back to him, I think like 6 weeks later, after just this one session, right? I mean, it lasted. It's very short. It was a couple hours. And he went from drinking, I think he was doing like, I don't know what he said it was, like 6 or 7 beers a day. I'm sure he drank a lot more than that because that doesn't seem like a lot to me, but I drank a lot back in the day. But from that to like he hadn't drank in like 3 weeks and he had like a glass of wine. And I think the day before the like coming back to see what the experience was like, he had like he drank a beer, but like he wasn't even planning on it. His friends basically like peer pressured him into drinking this beer.
Mm-hmm.
So like it worked, right? And that's the thing about psychedelics is they basically change the connections in your brain, the neurons, and kind of give you a blank slate. There's a lot of research into this kind of thing with psilocybin, with mushrooms, because in a really high dosage, it does the same thing. And there's people that like don't even want to look at a drink or, you know, do some kind of drug or whatever for like 6 months. Right.
Huh.
Where just like the thought of it doesn't, I don't know. They just don't feel like doing it. Right. And
yeah, the impulse isn't there anymore.
Yeah, yeah, because you're basically like rewiring. The way that they do these therapies is they basically rewire your brain to not get the dopamine hit from whatever your addiction is.
Yeah, it's my brother-in-law before he passed, he told me, because he had some addiction issues, he told me during one of his sober moments that it takes 6 weeks for you to like rewire your brain and like learn something new, like new like habit started.
Yes. Which is really interesting, and this is true for everything. So I'll use smoking as an example, because I still smoke. But I mean, I've cut down a lot, but I still smoke. And mm-hmm. and the thing that's interesting about nicotine is, you know, within like 24 to 48 hours, you have no nicotine in your body. But you're just addicted to the feeling that you get from like having this object in your hand and then taking the drag, right?
So
one technique that's often used is like herbal cigarettes, where it would be like something like a catnip cigarette. So you still get the feeling that you're smoking, but you train your mind to like have that motion, but not be dependent on the chemical. And then eventually you can end up quitting from that. I'm trying a different experiment. I'm not going to talk about it now. After I'm done with this experiment, I'll talk about it. But this is how like all these techniques works. And it's the same thing with any other quote unquote mental illnesses that are used, that they use psychedelics to treat, like depression, addiction, anxiety, etc. It really interesting though. I was thinking about this, it might have been today actually, or maybe it was last night. I was thinking about AA, and are you familiar with the history of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous?
Just like a TV movie familiarity.
All right, so AA is really interesting, because AA has become kind of like a Christian cult, basically.
For sure.
And I think the problem, I'm not saying that AA does not help folks, so don't get the wrong idea. I think people do genuinely quit by following the program. The problem with AA is that you're replacing one addiction with another. You replace your alcohol addiction with the addiction of like the dopamine hit of telling your story, or like feeling good for not drinking and having that like attaboy moment when you go to a meeting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is all very thinly veiled in like some Christian ideology, etc. But the really interesting thing about AA is the guy that founded AA, that came up with the 12-step program, the reason he quit drinking was not because he came up with the 12-step program, is he took massive amounts of acid. And through an acid trip came up with the 12-step program. Because the 12-step program is just like a retelling of like Buddhist precepts. The Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. That's the 12 steps. But you never hear about any of this stuff anymore. And he actually got kicked out of the organization because he was very adamant on making LSD a part of the 12-step program. But back then there was no like AA and NA, Narcotics Anonymous. And so the people that were in charge of the organization didn't want like already people addicted to certain narcotics to just replace him with another one. And so they cut that whole thing out and made the program a part of it. Right. And the problem with that is it just becomes a cult. I mean, it's not a religious cult per se, but it becomes a cult of self-help. But yeah, the history of AA is fascinating. You should look into it. That dude was like into like magic and all kinds of stuff. He was a regular Grant Morrison.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. That's really good. That's a good recommendation. I do recommend that book. I mean, I haven't read it, but I've heard a lot about it. And from what I hear, it's got some really good ideas in it.
Yeah, I think it would be a fascinating read.
Listen, like I said, I don't recommend anyone do psychedelics, but I will say this. If all the politicians and like people in power went to the jungle and drank some ayahuasca, or like came to my house and ate like 10 grams of mushrooms, the world would be a better place.
Huh.
That's all I'm saying. They would be a little more open-minded.
Gotcha.
Man, how long have we been talking? Listen, I was going to open this episode up talking about Daredevil, and here we are, 45 minutes later. We haven't even started yet.
Can I give you my dumb statement of the week?
There's no such thing, my friend. Continue.
No, there is. No, there is. No, continue. wait till you hear it, and then you can try to correct me on this.
Let me get my bell ready.
My dumb statement of the week. I think we both talked about this before. Netflix started up or relaunched an old series, Unsolved Mysteries. I started this thing, and I think there's like 8 episodes. I got up to 4. And I realized, you know what Nick doesn't like?
The new Unsolved Mysteries?
No. When a, whatever it is, scenario isn't wrapped up. Mm. It's left unsolved.
Mm.
That is so frustrating. And I realized that after 4 episodes. I was just like, come on. Like, at some point, like, I could see after so many, like, crime, murder, mystery type shows I've watched and read and listened to podcasts. I mean, I'm a junior detective compared to your wife, but still, I'm up there. I realized, wait, okay, this episode, they're not interviewing his friend from college. He's the only one that isn't being interviewed. That's interesting. Wait, hold on. Okay, now this episode, the French father is the only one that isn't being in. Okay, that, okay, check, check, check. Like, at some point, it's just like, okay, who are they not going to interview? Because obviously it's that person.
Yes.
But yet, and that's the way it leans, but also you never see the footage of the police officer interrogating the suspect. And then it's like, oh, now it's solved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's sort of what I need. That's why I said this is the dumb statement of the week. I don't like unsolved mysteries because they're not
they're
unsolved.
Solved.
And it took me 4 fucking episodes. It's like, what am I doing? I wasted 4 hours. I could have watched so much more stuff.
All right, so
and
let me...
instead, I gotta say, they do a great job to hook you in the first 5 minutes because you're like, they set up the scenario fantastically.
Mm-hmm.
But effort. All right. Of a sudden, it's like the first 5 minutes is the beautician goes to work. Many motorists have passed and they notice this car and her car is not where it's supposed to be. And this other car had its hood up and they just drove by on the highway. And then she disappeared and they found her bones. But who knows what that was from? And it's just like, at this point, like everyone is like, so this could be the deranged hitchhiker that was walking up the road and just decided, what the hell? I'll kill somebody today.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that that doesn't happen. But still, it's like, dang it, it's unsolved. Like at some point, I want all the unsolves just to be like alien abduction. Like, okay, that's an unsolved mystery that I could jump on board because that scenario is fun to me. But a murder, like, come on, police officer, FBI, whomever, you got to solve that shit. Because at this point, I don't want to be worried like, oh, that guy could break into my house. God forbid I go get my hair cut at a beautician's and he pulls up and parks right in front. Like, these are the scenarios that I don't want to even have running through my head.
So I watched one episode of Unsolved Mysteries. My wife watched half the season.
Oh.
And we both agreed we do not like the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
And we also agreed as to why we do not like the show.
Do tell.
The reason is... there's no awesome host.
Oh, you need a Robert Stack? Is that what you're saying?
Listen, this show needs a Robert Stack. All the show is like, let's just tell these random disjointed stories that nobody knows what the hell happened. Just cause, let's just talk about them.
Yeah.
It is Unsolved Mysteries in name only. Robert Stack is what made that show good.
Yep. In the trench coat, mood lighting, yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yep. I will tell you, though, if you want to watch a good documentary involving Unsolved Mysteries, you need to watch The Missing 411, The Hunted.
Missing
Yes. I think there are two of these documentaries, The Missing 401 and The Missing 401 The Hunted. I only watched The Hunted, but I know that the other one exists. These are based on books. There's like 10 of these books. They're all true stories about people going missing in national forests.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Are these movies?
They're documentaries.
Where are they streaming somewhere?
I believe it's on Prime.
All right. I will put that. I'm writing it down right now because that sounds. Hey, you know how many people go missing in forest preserves?
A lot.
A lot of people. You know how many people are found dead in forest preserves? A lot.
Yes. So he does do a couple where they find like pieces of things.
Mm.
But he picks like ones that really cannot be solved. Mm-hmm. Right? So like there's one this sequel is called The Hunted because it focuses on hunters that go missing in national forests.
Ooh.
Okay. The first one involves like mostly children. There are a couple of adults in the first one.
Wow.
Again, I haven't seen the first one, but I'm familiar with it.
Does the second season revolving around hunters, does every episode end with a bear or a moose winking at the camera and giving thumbs up? Yeah,
these are like documentaries, like a 2-hour film.
I know. They're not shows.
Yes. Yogi Bear pops out of behind a tree.
And he goes, hunter was better than a picnic basket.
Hey, yo, boo-boo, where's the next hunter? No. But this one focuses on hunters because, like, the first one that he did focused on missing people. But they're just, like, regular-ass people, right?
Right.
He did the second one on hunters because hunters know how to deal with being in the woods.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, they're familiar with nature. They know what animal sounds are like.
Yeah, they wouldn't get lost.
Yeah, they know how to orient themselves. They carry guns.
Right.
Right? But like some of these are like legit unexplainable. Right? Like there was one story, I think it was in Canada, where these guys went to the spot. They were hunting deer in the mountains. They went to the spot that they've been going to the spot for years, okay? And there was like a storm or something happened. Yeah, I think it was a blizzard. And they lost a lot of their supplies.
Mm.
And so one of the guys was going to go to like one of his stashes, right? Because hunters keep stashes in the woods in case like they run out of bullets or whatever. Like they have some secret hiding place for stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he had a stash not too like up this slightly higher up the mountain in this other lake. And so he went up there and like it was a very straight path. Like literally it's one path up the mountain. And when you get to a certain spot, it forks. And you can go left to go to the lake, and you go to the right, and it goes like further into the mountains. And again, these guys have been there for many, many times. Like for years, they've been hunting here. So he goes to the left, and they know this because they found some of these supplies when they found parts of him.
Huh.
So he goes, gets supplies, comes back, and he's got a GPS phone or like some locator beacon or whatever. And the last ping they got was basically back at this fork. The problem, and again, it's very simple. Like the road forks. So if you know you went up the mountain, you made a left, you know that you have to go back downhill to go down the mountain, which means you go right. Right? So you're not going to keep going up the mountain when you know you climbed to get there. And again, they've been there many times. Well, so they find I don't think they found a body. They may have found – it might be confusing with another story, but maybe they found like a piece of a jaw or something. But they – going up the wrong way on the fork, further down, there was like this clearing off a cliff and there's a river down. And of course, like if you know anything about nature, you know where the river flows is downhill. So if you want to get somewhere downhill, you go follow the river. Anyway, so they found his boots up in this clearing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The first time they searched the place, they didn't find anything. This is like days later. They recombed the area and find just the two boots just perfectly placed next to each other at the edge of the cliff. And Then they found like his backpack that had just like been put up against a rock, next to what seemed like he had made a fire pit or whatever, and like I can't remember if it was a rifle. I think it was a bow hunter. So he had his bow there, and like some other tools, just like all gently placed there.
Yeah, nothing
And
was disheveled.
yeah, nothing was disheveled. There were no like pieces of clothing torn, right? So like he wasn't eaten by
Sure.
a bear or anything. But yeah, so they never find the guy, but like they find this stuff. And so, like, one of the theories is like, well, there was a blizzard, so he got hypothermia. Because when you get hypothermic, you take your clothes off because you get so hot, right? Because you're freezing to death. And so, like, maybe he took his boots off and, like, jumped down to the river, whatever. They couldn't figure it out. But I think they found this guy's body, like, a month later or something, like, a few miles down the river. Like, a guy went fishing with his kid and, like, came upon the body. But like they couldn't figure out like where he had been this whole time, like why he did the things he did. There's some guys that like just they don't find anything, and it's like, hey Joe, like we should go up the mountain, and you turn around the point and you look back and Joe's gone, right? Like things like that. It's really interesting. You should check that one out. The missing 411, the hunted. The
I
thing.
will.
Let me preface. So there are no actual answers given.
Oh, God, it's the
Okay,
worst.
w which I like, and I think the guy did it on purpose, because this guy was a journalist and he left journalism to become like a Bigfoot hunter. Okay, and so I think he wants to make sure that like there's like legit work done on these missing people, and so he never suggests that like Bigfoot came and got him or like the aliens came and abducted him or anything like that. But some of the stories, like, I mean, you can maybe take it that way if you believe in that kind of stuff. Maybe you don't. In the movie, there's a story at the end which I've seen before elsewhere, that has nothing to do with a person going missing. But it was this lady that's a hunter, and she was hunting on her property. And so you remember the movie Predator, right? You know how when the predator's going through the jungle at the beginning, he's camouflaged so you can't see him, but you see this like translucent shape. So basically she sees that, right? And then like the high school band's playing a couple miles away, and apparently they saw like a saucer. So this is like the Bigfoot UFO connection that I talked about a few weeks ago. Remember that?
Nice, nice.
But they never say like it was aliens or it was Bigfoot. Like nothing like that. Which I think is cool that like he doesn't make you lean in that direction, right? And again, most of these, like, there's zero talk of anything supernatural at all. But and it's well made. It's really well made. So I recommend The Missing 411, The Hunted.
I like it. Can I give you, I'll give you my last little suggestion. Suggested watch list. And of course the mini series, I'll wait, I'll be gone at dark. That's still going on. It's a 6-part mini series. We talked about it before. It's still awesome. Highly recommend. Part 5 just came out, part 6 this weekend. But also on HBO, which I watched, I don't know why I watched. I don't know why I watched it. I don't know why I watched it, but I just decided to put it on. Not that I'm that big of a fan of hers, but for whatever reason, I was like, all right, let me check this out. It was Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't think I could name more than 3 of her songs. But I gotta say, like growing up when I did, I remember my parents as well as my aunts and uncles having Linda Ronstadt albums. So obviously her music has been through my entire childhood.
Sure.
And then when I worked at record stores, she was putting out so many albums that you had to play them as well as see them on Friday Night Videos, MTV, whatever. And then she went over into country western music, and that was fascinating, as well as Pirates of Penzance with oh, what's his name? Kevin Kline,
Okay.
who did Pirates of Penzance with her, which was completely bizarre, and I never saw any footage of that, and there's footage in the documentary. But then it just sort of like her career, like the documentary takes it in such a way, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it was sort of like my history with her music, because I remember her putting out these albums like later in her life. And then all of a sudden it was just like a ghost town. You just never heard from her. Hmm. She got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't ever remember her showing up. But like I said, this is partly to, you know, this could be skewed memory. She certainly is not somebody that I eagerly follow musically with, you know, my entire heart. But her music's been through my life, like I said, for decades. Right. And it was shocking, the first, like, her first four or five albums. It's shocking when they're, because they played tons of her music, whether it was live or from the actual record studio recordings. But I was shocked at how many songs I totally knew. Like, wow, that is so my childhood growing up. Mm. It was insane how much she was on the radio. No surprise, she won tons of Grammys. But like I said, she was brought into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I don't know if she ever showed up. They didn't go into it in the documentary. They just sort of played that at the end of, like, the end credits. They showed Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They showed all these people singing her songs. Mm. And to be honest with you, I think in my head, in my revisionist history, I just assumed she died.
Right.
Because literally she fell off the map. But when you find out what transpires in her life, and she's still around right now, but it's just like, holy Christ, what a story. And by the end, and like I said, I'm going to go back to the very beginning. I'm not a huge fan, but her life story and who she dated and how she got albums made and how in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you're a woman leading a band who's primarily men, and that awkwardness of like her worried about her band, but yet she has to, like, being a woman in rock and roll at that time was pretty tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great story to hear about. They had tons of people, producers as well as like boyfriends, friends, like, you know, musicians, just all across the board talking about her, which was great to hear insight like that. But by the end, honest to God, even though this is a person that's on my radar, but just casually, dude, twice I was peeling tears. It emotionally affected me, like her story and like people talking about her. It was just shocking, the roller coaster ride of that documentary. So I highly recommend The Sound of My Voice.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes. Have we talked about the two recent comic book properties on Netflix?
I know this Friday, Umbrella Academy season 2 comes out.
Yes. But have we talked about Old Guard or Warrior Nun?
We talked about Warrior Nun. Old Guard was coming out the week we talked about Warrior Nun.
Right. That's right.
Remember, I mentioned that I saw Charlize Theron being interviewed by Stern. Yeah,
that's right. Okay, so I will say this. I just want to bring up Warrior Nun real quick again, because the Brightside chat just put out an awesome discussion on it.
Ooh,
and,
nice.
So go check out the Brightside chat and listen to that episode. It's great. And, cool. And I know Mike just started watching Warrior Nun, and he loves it. So I want to briefly just reiterate.
Nice.
Because I see people chiming in that they dropped off after the first episode.
Uh-huh.
The first episode is not this show.
Yeah, you even told me way back when that get past the first episode and then it gets really good.
Yeah, you got to get past like the first and a half, maybe two. And the problem is that's tough because there's so much like competition for your attention, right? And so like you want the first one to be good so you can continue. But I promise you, if you stick with the show, you will be very pleasantly surprised. You might be a little angry at the ending because it ends on a cliffhanger, which means that they have to do a season two. But highly, highly recommend it. Just throwing that out there. Now, Old Guard. Did you watch The Old Guard?
I read the comic, but I did not watch the show yet. It's in my queue, but like you said, I have so much other things drawing my eyes away.
Yeah.
I think I have to be in a mood, and to be honest with you, I have to find time when Julie, the cruise director, is busy or asleep because
Sure.
there's no way she wants to watch that.
Yes. It is not a show she would enjoy. So that's fine. I will say this, it's a great action movie.
Can I ask you two things and weave this into your narrative? Because
Yes.
I want these two things answered.
Yes.
How faithful is it to adapting the comic book? And how close, just Charlize alone, how is it as good as her last, God, what was her last action film that she did, that she produced, and it was based on a graphic novel?
Oh, the one where she was a spy or whatever?
It was like Electric Blue or something
Yeah,
like
something
that.
like that. Yeah,
Because I love the action in that film. Holy Christ, that was good.
So it's not quite that in
Atomic
terms of action.
Blonde.
Atomic Blonde. It's not quite
Yeah.
that in terms of action, but there's a lot of action and there's a ton of Charlize Theron.
Is it stylish like Atomic Blonde? Because I
No.
mean, it looked like Charlize Theron when she said she broke like her thumb filming that film. I'm like, yeah, look at how much action and like hand-to-hand combat stuff she's doing. Holy Christ.
There is a lot of hand-to-hand combat in this.
Okay, cool.
Now, I'm assuming people have read the comic. If you have not read the comic, shame on you. Okay, I'm just gonna say that straight out. It is Greg Rucka. It is freaking phenomenal. Well, who's the artist? Leandro Fernandez. Phenomenal. Okay. The when The Old Guard came out, I told everyone to fucking read it, and no one listened. Okay, well, maybe Ronnie Barry. I think he listened.
I went out and actually bought that graphic novel, so
That's true,
trust
you
me,
did.
your words did not fall on deaf ears, and it
All
was
right.
as good as expected.
Fair enough. Ronnie Barron and Nick Wetmore were the only good boys that listened and read this comic. It was fucking phenomenal. The movie is not the comic book. I don't expect it to be either. It's pretty close, Nick. The story is close. But it's like one of those things where like there's certain things that are not going to work in film. And so those things are changed. With that said, Greg Rucka wrote the screenplay for the movie. So it's not like they're just random changes because some guy didn't read the comic or didn't understand the comic. The guy that wrote the comic, who's a fucking genius, wrote the screenplay for the movie. So the changes he made were made specifically to make them work in the movie. And
And I think Charlize Theron's production company bought the rights, so it was smart of
Yes.
her to bring him in. Also, do you know who did the illustrated posters for it?
No.
Tallulah Lotay.
Oh, hello.
Yes. So Charlize Theron, pretty smart marketer, bringing both of those two on.
See, now that you said that, Jay's gonna have to go out and buy these original art pieces from Tula on eBay.
I'm just throwing it out there, trying to get more people's eyes on it. What
No,
the
I hear
heck?
you. I hear you.
So give it to me. How is it? Is it great that it's a movie, or do you, since it's Netflix, do you wish that it was like a four-part series?
I would have loved for this to be a miniseries.
Yeah,
Okay,
that's what I was thinking.
and you know, Netflix has gotten smart with the stuff, and they don't do these long seasons anymore, right? They do like the 8 or 10 episode seasons.
Yeah, they do the European model.
Yes. Which is smart. I don't think this even needed that. Okay. I think this would have been fine as like 4 hour episodes. Okay. There wasn't like enough taken out to warrant that, I think, if they had gone the miniseries route. But since it's Greg Rucka, I think they could have done it in a way where like they would have focused on a particular character in each episode. You see what I mean? And so you get more backstory. because the backstory for the characters here is very slim. In the comics, there's a lot of backstory, especially if you read the sequel, which is fucking phenomenal. I think that just finished or recently finished. The sequel's phenomenal, and there's a lot more backstory in the sequel. But I think I would have loved to see more about like these immortals in previous times, especially when you get some of the backstory, because you do get the backstories, right? Not for the, what's her name? Damn it, Charlize's character. I can't remember. Someone's gonna yell at me. But you don't get like really anything on her. Like they don't even say how old she is, right? They're just like she's old. Whereas in the comics, you do get that, right? But with the other characters, you do get the backstory. You just don't see it. Like they're just telling their story. So I would have liked to see that. But as a 2-hour movie, it was phenomenal. Like as a 2-hour movie, it was long enough, like a perfect length.
Okay.
It was full of action. The basic plot of the comics is there. Some of the characters that weren't as prominent in the comics become a little more prominent in the movie. Some characters that were prominent in the comic take slightly of a back seat, right? Like Charlize's character, even though she's the main character and it's focused on her, she's not as central as she is in the comics.
Sure.
And there's some nice changes done, like the guy that tries that kidnaps them to learn the secret of immortality. In the comics, he's like this crazed, like super muscular dude. In the movie, he's like this tiny dweeb, who's like a total douchebag. But the change worked, I thought. And the way that it ends is similar to the way the comic ends, but there is a slight difference. I'm gonna go spoil this slight difference a little bit, so be prepared. But Charlize's character loses her immortality in the movie.
Okay.
Which adds a very interesting dynamic to the final fight sequence, but she's still a total badass.
Sure.
And
how much in the movie? How much is she using that kick-ass axe?
Not nearly enough.
Damn it. Okay.
Not nearly enough. She gets it at the end because like it's in a case, and she gets it at the end. But not nearly enough. They should have done way more axe.
Heck yeah.
Way more axe. And it does, and there is a kind of like half post-credit sequence that sets up the sequel.
Oh, thank you. Hey, thanks for spoiling that, because, buddy, I would have been, just like any Netflix show, turning it off as soon as I saw the fade to black before credits.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it, but it's one of those things where, like, you're used to it with comic book movies, right?
Yeah.
So I finished watching it, and I had to pee really bad. But I don't want to pause it, right? So I was like, I'll just hold it. And the credits start rolling, and I was like, I'll give it, like, another minute. And then the scene came up, and I was like, all right, cool. And it does seem to follow the scene that you get does seem to follow what the plot of the sequel of the comic is.
Dang,
so,
cool.
So there's a character that's the villain in the sequel of the comic that does show up in the first miniseries that you see at the end of this movie.
Way to go, Greg Rucka.
So, man, I was excited. I watched this, and it was awesome, and I loved it. I didn't love it as much as the comic, but I still loved it for what it was.
Sure.
And as soon as I finished it, I went to pee and I got on Twitter and I said, God damn it, where's my sequel? Because I'm excited. So I hope they do a sequel.
That's cool.
I do. Just like Warrior Nun, like they have to do a sequel based on the way that ends. But yeah, so those two things, fantastic. And yeah, Umbrella Academy comes out this Friday. I'm not rewatching the first season, but I am going to rewatch the final episode. Just to have a refresher.
To be honest with you, I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
Oh, really? Did you not like it?
Not really.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think the ending was just way too rushed and wrapped up way too quick. And some of the brothers and sisters were pretty bad actors. So, Don't know. I mean, I to be honest with you, I'd really like to give Warrior Nun a try, even though I watched the trailer for that and I thought that looked way too hyper for me. But since you're raving about it so much, I'm willing to give that a shot.
Yeah, I think the trailer just gives you like the gist. It's one of those things where like, hey, look, it's a bunch of nuns fighting stuff, but that's not really what the show's about.
It's just too frenetic, and to be honest with you, it's one of those poorly edited trailers that I half expect to hear Blur's Song 2 put over it.
I do like the song in the trailer.
I know, but my point is every dumb action film puts Blur's Song 2 over it. Yeah, it's just like, oh, come on.
And that's the problem that I have with Warrior Nun. Same thing why I say, like, get past the first, like, two episodes. Because the first two episodes are, like, what the trailer is, right? It's like, hey, here's another fun thing to watch with action and ladies and stuff.
Gotcha. It reminded me of that Zack Snyder film that was just way too overbloated and action-y with the gang of women going after.
Sucker Punch.
Yes, Sucker Punch. Yeah.
I remember loving that when it came out, and I just recently watched it, and it wasn't as good as I remember. But, I mean, it's still pretty good.
It's all right. I think it's aged better than I expected it to age.
Mm. Interesting. I am going to watch Umbrella Academy 2, though. The trailer looks good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, let's put it this way. Julie, the cruise director, who did watch the entire season of Umbrella Academy all in one night.
Oh, wow.
If she is at all interested, sign me up. I'll be watching it, without a doubt. Nice. There was enough there that I want to see it. And I love Gerard Way. So sign me up.
Very nice. I was listening to My Chemical Romance last night while I was doing some writing.
Hell yeah. Which one?
The Black Parade.
Of course. Is there any other?
That's the best album.
it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It still holds up.
I used to cry when the two back-to-back sad songs, Cancer and Mama, because my mom died of cancer. So that was always very emotional for me listening to that album. I did watch one other – I watched a lot more stuff. But I do want to talk about another show that I watched that's very short. I think it's 6 episodes.
Yeah, tell me.
I thought it was going to be longer. Originally, I did not want to watch it because, number one, it's mostly in French.
Ooh, okay.
But it just didn't seem like something I'd want to watch at first. Like, I watched the trailer and I was like, this seems like it's up my alley. But I don't know if I like the execution. So I put it on my queue, and I was like, let me just get some stuff out of my queue. And this thing just popped up again. I was like, fine, I'll watch it. And I binged the whole season back to back.
Ooh, jeez.
Not because it's like the most amazing thing ever, but I thought it was interesting enough to like continue. And the show is called Into the Night. Have you heard of the show?
It seems familiar, but I think I'm thinking of an 80s film, Into the Night.
Well, and also the problem is there's a lot of shows on Netflix that have the words into or dark or night in their titles, and I always get confused which one is which. But this one is called Into the Night.
Okay.
And basically in the trailer, it's like a bunch of people arguing on a plane, and you learn that like they have to fly away from the sun for some reason.
Hmm.
Okay. So as you start watching the thing, you kind of learn a little bit more as to why they have to fly away into the night, as they say. You see how that goes? And it's very simple. So it seems like something has happened, Nick, to the sun. And when dawn hits, everyone gets microwaved to death.
Whoa, that's intense. All right.
Yes. So when the movie kicks off, you like get little vignettes of some of the key characters, and then like they all meet up on this, like they don't know each other, but you see them end up meeting up on this plane because they're all traveling to, I think it's Moscow that they're supposed to go, and one of the characters that you see is this this NATO officer, a soldier, and he's like extremely frantic, and through this whole process he ends up like punching an airport guard who, for some reason, is carrying a rifle, and like gets on the plane, and he basically he hijacks the plane, and he's like, "Listen, I work for NATO. We got to get the hell out of here. The sun's gonna kill everybody." And everyone's like, "You're a damn idiot. The sun doesn't kill anybody. What are you talking about?" But because he has a gun, he does manage to get them to take off and start flying the opposite direction, right? That they start flying west instead of east. And so the whole season, you're basically learning about these people and how they end up getting in this place and why they do the things they do. And some characters seem like complete assholes. Like this is one guy who just has like the douchiest haircut and the douchiest mustache, and like the things he does, he just seems like one of these like neo-Nazi racist kind of guys. But it turns out that like that's not him at all. Like he's probably like in his 50s or 60s. He works as a security guard, a nighttime security guard for like the mall, and still lives with his mom. And the reason he's on this plane is he's going to be flying to Moscow to meet this woman that he met in online chat. And there's some twist to that. I want to talk about that in case anyone wants to watch it. But like nobody is really what they seem to be in this show until you get
Of
much
course.
deeper into the show, right? Except this NATO guy. He's a total asshole. Like I knew that from the second I saw him. I was like, this guy sucks. And so the whole season just has them basically like, it's like fly through the air. Something happens. Let's fix this. And now we gotta land to resupply and refuel before the sun comes up. And like, let's get back in the air because we gotta keep going east. And something happens. So let's fix that. Kind of, you know, one of these like monster of the week things. Except there's no monster. It's some like. Something like between characters, or like at one point they, where do they go? I think they go in Canada somewhere. They land, and they come up with these. They come upon these three soldiers, who say that they've got like left behind for some reason. I can't remember from the evacuation, and it turns out that like that's not true at all. They were left there because they were war criminals from Afghanistan. Like they had killed people in a, like doing interrogations or whatever. And so, like, the whole plot is like, how do they ditch these guys, right? Because they're all murderers. Yeah, it's really good. I recommend it. And again, it's only 6 episodes. It is 90% in 95% in French, because they fly out of Belgium, and it's a French crew. But like, there's some Russian interspersed in there, some English, some Italian, very multilingual. And some really interesting characters. No character is very black and white. They're all very, very much shades of gray. And there is a conclusion at the end,
Oh, good.
that leads to season two. Bam!
Oh, wow.
See, that's the theme for tonight, man. The theme is sequels.
Is season two out?
It is not out. I mean, this show was just released on Netflix a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's that. But the one that is coming back is called, see, this is one of those things where I think it's called something dark. There is a Norwegian show that's a Netflix original. Season three is coming out, I think, next week or the week after. Where basically there's like a pandemic that kills everybody.
Oh boy, good timing.
Yeah, good timing, right? But there's some like conspiracy because like the dad was working on a cure for something and maybe the one that created this virus. So like the kids are able to find these bunkers to kind of hide in, but like shit happens along the way. And the way season two ended was really weird. Like the kid, like this virus that he's infected with, maybe gave him some superpowers. But it's all like very like grounded, right? It's not like he can shoot lasers out of his eyes. So we'll see. Season three comes out of that. I want to say that one's called Something Dark. Just look up Dark on Netflix and you'll see it. But it's not the show called Dark. That is a different show. That's also fantastic. I think that's a German show.
Could it be Dark Shadows?
Dark Shadows.
The old Barnabas Collins show?
No, no. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to get on my Netflix here real quick and see if I can find the name of the show. But, yeah, dude, lots of good stuff. And I watched, I don't know if you told me about it, that Unabomber documentary. It's like a
yes,
four,
I did tell
four,
you about it.
Six? How many episodes is it?
I want to say.
It's short.
Yeah, four. Four.
The Rain. Right. Okay, the show I'm talking about is called The Rain.
No season, Dark.
Season three comes out August 8th.
Yeah, Unabomber in his own words.
That's it. That's it. God, that was good.
Yeah, that was creepy and fascinating.
Yeah, that was good. I vaguely remember the Unabomber. Like, I remember the day they caught him.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so
that was
do I.
All over the news.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really well done. Really well done. I enjoyed it.
And it's scary that mental illness can take people down crazy paths, but yet he's so uber smart that he's like, no, 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 you're not blaming my mental illness. This is what I did. This is what I did. This is why I did it. And this is what I did. And you're not going to frame it under mental illness.
Yeah, because a lot of these serial killers are like, yeah, the devil made me do it or whatever, right?
Right.
Jesus made me do it.
He did not want any of that shit. He wanted full responsibility. He wanted everything to be shown onto him.
Well, because the thing is, the reason he did what he did is because he's like, society sucks, and you're all morons because you don't see it. Let me show you.
No, it's not society sucks. Society is becoming too modern.
Oh, well, yes, there you go.
Technology is encroaching too much.
We're relying too much on tools.
Yeah, it's the standard like Terminator 2 theory of like you're building something and all of a sudden the computers are going to take over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fascinating that like there's definitely mental illness there, but he just absolutely did not want anyone in the media or general public to think that that was ever done because he's mentally ill.
Well, and you know what's really interesting, because it when it starts, his story could have gone a very different way, right? Because he's like basically stalking this woman.
Yep.
And talking about like knifing her to death, basically. And that never happens. Like he goes a very different direction. Like, yes, he's still killing people. But it goes a very different direction. And I found that really interesting. I wasn't aware of that little tidbit at the beginning.
I thought the last or maybe the last half, the last episode or last half, that would be the fascinating part for you about while he's at Harvard, Yale?
Harvard.
Harvard. About him being experimented on by, what was it, a college professor?
Yeah.
I was fascinated, and I'm like, there's no way Martin doesn't love this part right here. Just like, holy mackerel. And then to actually hear just a part of that audio tape, it's like, oh my God, I wanted to hear the entire tape. Because he certainly was put under a very high stress pressure situation that, guess what, if you're a little off center, that could have drastic effects on you. Are you going to go and like create bombs and send them to people that you think that are pushing technology forward? Probably not, but still, that's going to have an effect on you.
Yeah, I agree. I remember reading the Unabomber's manifesto.
Oh, yeah, from the paper?
No. I think you had to get it like in the dark web back then. Because I mean, they even talk about how like there were no printed copies. There were like three printed copies.
Well, other than that newspaper that printed it.
Yeah. Well,
in California,
dude, I was a young tyke. Why would I read the newspaper?
I agree.
The internet was the hotness back then.
Especially the dark web.
Well, dude, yeah, because I mean, I remember I read that, and you can get like what was the other, the Anarchist Cookbook and all that stuff.
Sure.
Like that was easy to find back then. But yeah, I remember reading and I was like, this guy's got some good points.
Yeah, he's very intelligent.
He was a very smart guy. And yeah, it's funny. They were talking about him in that that Joe Rogan episode I was talking about earlier with the preppers.
Oh, wow.
Because, what was his name? I can't remember. His real name. Something.
Kaczynski.
Ted Kaczynski.
There you go.
He's kind of like an unsung hero for a lot of preppers, right?
For sure.
Because he was able to just live in the woods by himself for decades and did all the stuff by himself with nobody finding out for decades until making this one little mistake, you know?
The filmmakers are smart enough to even show very, very current newsreel footage of these offshoot Greenpeacers, you know, green earthers that are doing pretty extreme stuff for a cause. And that's sort of what Kaczynski was talking about. He's doing stuff for a cause, but I love when he originally got caught, or before he got caught, he would give credit to different organizations and then they would talk to a representative of the organization. They're like, no, that's not us. we got to distance. We're going to distance ourselves from that. Oh, boy.
You know, it's funny that you brought up the experiment thing. So, you know, I love to lurk in conspiracy sites.
Yeah.
Just to see, what kind of crazy shit people talk about.
For sure.
I don't remember ever seeing, a conspiracy theory about this guy. But watching the documentary and them talking about these experiments, I was like, are they talking about MK Ultra? I know Ronnie's listening and his ears just perked up because he knows what I'm talking about. So MK Ultra, and this ties in to every single thing we've talked about into this episode.
No.
MK Ultra was a legit, this is not some conspiracy. It's a real thing that happened.
Okay.
It was a covert experiment. I think they started in the 50s, maybe the 60s, and officially terminated either late 60s or sometime in the 70s, although there's been other programs that succeeded it. Okay. But it was a program, a CIA program. Now I said the key words, they're listening.
Oh.
A CIA program that used psychedelics and what's that thing called? Neuro language programming, I think it's called. Because they wanted to create sleeper agents. You know, that movie, The Maturing Candidate?
Yeah, of course. Classic Frank Sinatra film.
Okay. Basically that. This is where the plot for Maturing Candidate comes from.
Yeah.
And so they were using, I think, mostly acid, LSD.
So this is different than the documentaries that we've both talked about on here about, because it's right around the same time period of people taking acid and then projecting themselves.
No.
Okay.
Related program.
Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating. Boy, the CIA was kicking ass in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah. So the one you're talking about is Project Stargate.
Yes.
This one is MK Ultra. Same basic idea, except different goals.
Jesus.
Right? So one is to create remote spies. The other one is basically to create sleeper agents that you can mind control.
Crazy.
There's a shit ton of science on this stuff. And it all stems from these programs. There was this is when you can get into a little more conspiracy, I guess. But there's some talk of what was the Kool-Aid guy? Don't drink the
Ken
Kool-Aid.
Kesey?
No, don't drink the Kool-Aid. What was his name? The cult, I don't know. In Costa Rica or whatever.
Oh, Jim Jones?
Jim Jones. There's some connections apparently between Jim Jones and the CIA. So one of the theories is that the whole cult that he created was partially a CIA experiment. On mind control, yeah. I don't know. There's so much stuff. If you go into the MK Ultra rabbit hole, you may not ever escape. Okay, wow. There's a lot of stories.
Where's that documentary? I want to watch it.
I'm sure it's out there. What was that movie, the George Clooney, The Men Who Stare at Goats?
Yeah.
Okay, that's related to this too. MK Ultra and Project Stargate. It's fictionalized, but The Men Who Stare at Goats is based on a real CIA experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that one didn't work out as well. but it was a real CIA experiment. Yeah, that's really interesting. So, I'm surprised I haven't seen more connections, but it makes sense to me. Like, the time frame is roughly correct. So very possible. Maybe Kaczynski was an MKUltra subject.
Well, let's not forget this is the same time period and same, like, government. Remember that one documentary, I forget the title of it. Was it Separated at Birth? Where the government would remove one of a set of twins.
Yes.
And they did this all in, like, the New York area. And yes. Then they would go and visit both sets. Unbeknownst to any of the parents or siblings, they would visit them throughout their life. Mm-hmm. and just pretty much pretend like, oh, we're going to interview you because we're doing a study for such and such college regarding adopted children. Mm-hmm. And adoptive parents. But what they were really doing was studying twins that are being separated at birth.
Yep.
It's like, oh my God, how heartbreaking. Yep. But, you know, hey, everyone for the government is just a little lab rat back in the day. Even today, I would say, not even back in the day.
This will sound slightly conspiratorial when I say it.
I'll say it.
But I'm going to say it anyway because they're already listening. I said the keyword. there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that leads to, like, legit technological improvements, okay, and advances in society and culture and science, philosophy, technology, all this stuff. But listen, a lot of this stuff, like a lot of these programs,
uh-huh,
started coming up after World War II. And, uh-huh, and this is not a conspiracy. This is completely legit. Look up Operation Paperclip. When Russia and the United States are basically, like, throwing money at ex-Nazi scientists to come to the country. If it were not for Nazi scientists coming here, we would not have NASA. We would not have JPL. We would not have a lot of the CIA and the FBI and all these things. So, again, it sounds conspiratorial, but a lot of these projects stem from research that was being done in Nazi Germany, which was, like, very, very strongly influenced by, like, weird, mystical, esoteric ideology. So that's why, like, it comes off super wacky. But that's kind of the point, you know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh,
if we make it sound wacky, everyone's gonna be like, that's bullshit, that never happened. But it totally happened.
Huh.
Okay, and you can look all of these things up, and not even in, like, conspiracy websites. I dare anyone to just go to, like, CIA.gov and go into the library section, and you can read all about a lot of these experiments, a lot of them declassified, so they're not even, like, blacked out. The crazy shit that they've been doing for the past 75 years or whatever.
Wow.
It's crazy, yeah. And I'm surprised that they have a lot of these things declassified on their website, where just, like, anybody can read them. But it's very interesting.
And the They're thing great is, rabbit holes.
And the thing is, they research everything, right? Because, no matter what it is, like, if there's some kind of advantage that you can gain from anything, they're going to use it against, you know, an enemy of the state.
Of course.
Right? So they will look at the craziest theories. If they find some truth in it, cool. We'll use it. If not, like, whatever. Here you go.
Or if they debunk it, then it's like, well, we can move on.
Well, you know, the CIA created the term conspiracy theory.
No, I didn't know that.
The CIA, well, it wasn't even, they weren't even the CIA yet. It was called, oh man, the Office of something. I can't remember. Whatever the name of the CIA was before they got renamed to the CIA, one of their head guys came up with the term conspiracy theory, to disprove that they were doing any of this stuff. Because, like,
Crazy.
let's just make them look like wackos, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, it, dude, like these mind experiments, very real. Very real. So,
But
yeah.
they also have to discredit anybody that's coming after them. So,
Well,
yeah.
that's true, and that's how you get crazy conspiracy theories. Like,
Yeah.
there's three people that rule the whole world, or whatever, right? Or whatever they say, the five families, or whatever it is.
Love it.
Yes, and aliens, bro. Did you see the New York Times website? The article?
No.
What? See,
No.
this is the this you just proved the point. The New York Times puts out an article that basically states from a government source quoted saying that they have recovered vehicles not of this earth and nobody knows about it. The reason
Wow.
is because people that are into it, of course, are looking for it, and people that are not into it are just like, oh, there's the crazy UFO guy again.
I don't know if I would be lumped into that camp. I definitely would look to see what's the source, and then I might be lumped into that camp.
Ah, I see.
You tell me New York Times, then it's like that holds a little bit more weight.
So they actually have two articles. The article that set UFO Twitter in a storm is entitled "No Longer in Shadows: Pentagon's UFO Unit Will Make Some Findings Public." And then that was on the 23rd, and then on the 28th they added an opinion piece called "Do We Believe in UFOs? That's the Wrong Question."
Dang.
Because the point of it is, they're not saying it's aliens. They're saying it could be aliens, but what they're saying is the government has these craft that have technology that we don't have, and we don't know where it comes from. And nobody in the world admits to having this technology. So, of course, UFO Twitter automatically assumes it's alien technology. I mean, maybe it could be, but it could be anything else, right? It could be a Chinese craft or Russian craft or whatever. Maybe aliens live on the ground, right? And so that's what these things are. I don't know, whatever. They don't I don't think at any point in this article they say that it's aliens. But that becomes the assumption based on the way the article is worded from a lot of people. Yeah, there's been a lot of this stuff, man. Like, Marco Rubio is apparently the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee now, and he's like petitioning Congress to have hearings to release information to the public on crash vehicles.
Sheesh.
This whole week has been like nonstop stuff.
It's like your Christmas.
It's like my Christmas. You're 100% correct. You are 100% correct.
All I know is after hearing all this, now I want to go back to Phoenix, Arizona and visit my mom so I can see another craft. Because I don't care if you tell me, oh, that must have just the weird way it was flying. So slow in the air, that was just flying away from you or towards you, and that's why it looked slow. No. No.
Trust me, buddy. I know what you mean.
I know, I love it.
I know what you mean.
Let's go watch X-Files.
You
Come
know what?
on.
Let me go use the facilities, and then I got a story to tell you.
Uh-oh.
All right, hang on.
I wonder what the story is gonna be. Should I be worried? Should I be concerned? I'm not sure, listener. I'm not sure. But I will tell you, that's right. It's that moment of the podcast when he's gone. I have you all to myself. And I can discuss, catch you up to date with what I've been reading. Very important. Right now, currently, I am reading Batman, Bruce Wayne, Fugitive, which is freaking awesome. Can't believe it took me this long to finally read that. Love it. Love it. I wrapped up I wrapped up Wonder Woman Rebirth, the Deluxe Edition Book 2, which is the Greg Rucka run. Loving it. Can't believe it took me that long to finally get back to it, because Volume 1 was so good. And Volume 2, God, it just opened up Diane's world so much more. Loved it. Then I switched over and I read X-Men Red, Volume 1, The Hate Machine, which was Tom Taylor. I really liked parts of it, and then other parts became very, I get that they're mutants and the general public is against the mutants, and everything is, they're being framed by government and by the press and media. But I've heard that so much. It's such a tired drum, and it was being beat so much. But do I want to read more of it? Yes, because I did. I thought Tom Taylor's voice of Jean Grey was really strong. I really enjoyed that. And I liked the team that Taylor put together for X-Men Red. That was really good. Before I started Batman Bruce Wayne Fugitive, I wrapped up right before that was The Punisher Suicide Run, which I've never read. Heard a lot of great things, mainly it's Stephen Grant wrote most of it, and I think Chuck Dixon. It was a Punisher event, or crossover event, I should say, that went across the three Punisher books at the time, and it started off with Frank going after all of these mafia people. Who would have thought he goes after mafia people in a building? Jump to someone destroys the building, it collapses down on him, and kills the Punisher. Or at least that's what the media says.
What does the media say?
That the Punisher is dead from a building collapsing on him and all these mafioso.
Wait, in the comics?
Yeah, in Punisher Suicide Run. I was reviewing the comics that I read, buddy.
Oh, I'm not reading that. Is it good?
It was way back in the day. Yeah, it's heralded as one of the like main Punisher books you should be reading. I think you should be reading like the Garth Ennis books, especially once Steve Dillon leaves. Not that I don't love Steve Dillon, but I love the later Ennis run of Punisher. But I gotta say, Suicide Run, I love the fact that through the book, and the bad thing is, it's not a big book. It's not thick, and they should have let it breathe a little bit, but I think this was just like whenever this was, late 90s that it came out. They just didn't, as soon as Frank was quote-unquote dead, they didn't have issues, because they had all these other people, and it's a very Batman issue.
Right.
Punisher dies, and all these zealot fans start popping up, whether they're like ex-military, whether they're police, or just somebody on their couch. Mm. Oh my God, the Punisher's dead. I'm going to become the next Punisher, because somebody has to bring justice to these criminals.
Yeah.
So all these people start putting on the skull shirt. And they had women, they had men, they had this guy from overseas who came over here to verify if Frank's dead. And I wish it would have stayed that way, because I thought there were some interesting characters there. Mm-hmm. And even the mafia gets involved in it, and they create their own Punisher to go against other families, other like mafia families, and start wiping them out, even though, but it is Frank, you know, it is the Punisher, wink, wink, but he's our Punisher, that type of thing. So there was some cool little segments in this comic book that I wish breathed a little bit, but I think because it's the 90s, we have to go, go, go. We have to move this thing along. So they couldn't keep Frank Castle dead within like three or four issues. And this spanned across like all three of the Punisher titles at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time like it went from one, the first title to the third title, Frank went from dead to now he's like recouping, even though everybody still thought he was dead.
Mm.
For like maybe four issues probably. But then as soon as they find out he's alive, because he was arrested as a John Doe, and then while he was passed out in the cell, they took his fingerprints.
Right.
And they put it through the Federal Bureau, whatever, blah, 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 with the fingerprints trying to ID him. Frank wakes up and he's like, "Have you figured out who I am? Just to let you know, like, there's a shitstorm coming to this small town. You better be prepared because I'm the Punisher, blah, blah, blah." And he, of course, does the soapbox, the 90s soapbox. The sheriff doesn't believe him. So Frank just says, "Why don't you call the FBI? Obviously, it's been long enough. They know who I am. And if you don't get the runaround, that's great. Then arrest me. If they don't know who I am or you get the runaround, they know where I'm at, and they've already told the people that need to kill me to come here."
Hmm.
And sure enough, the sheriff calls the FBI, gets the runaround, puts the phone down, and he has his back to Frank, and Frank says, "You got the runaround, so you know my story's true. And if you don't let me out of here, people are going to be white. This is going to be a bloodbath, your small town bloodbath." And it's like Mayberry. And at that point, it's just Frank wiping out people, of course. But there were a good four or five issues that was really interesting with the new Punishers trying to come up. And I mean, a couple of them even died, like instantly died, because it's a couch potato thinking that he's Frank Castle. No, you're not. Like, something stupid happens to you, and guess what? The gangsters that you're trying to arrest just shoot you. Cold-hearted just shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really good and really interesting, and it had a really – it was well-paced, and it was fast-paced. But they could, instead of letting it breathe, obviously they're not writing for trades, so that everything was condensed down so much that it just – it was – let's go balls to the wall. We can't let this thing breathe more than like one issue between the three titles of this entire run. But it was good. It was Larry Hama, Chuck Dixon, and God, who the hell? Stephen Grant writing it.
I think I need to make Punisher my adopt for next year.
Yeah, you should. I'm already thinking about who I want to do for that. And yeah. I can't really. I'm thinking X-Men.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking The Flash.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I have so much X-Men, so many blind spots. And I've never read the first Flash issue I ever read solo-wise. I mean, I read Justice League like crazy, but I mean, as you well know, any group book for me, the more heroes, the better. So I was into Justice League for sure.
Hmm.
But the first solo Flash that I read was The Trial of Flash with Reverse Flash.
Interesting.
Which is an insane way to start that. But yeah, I think those are the two that I'm in. And oh, while you took a piss break, another book that I'm sure you've read, or maybe you didn't, was Tom Taylor's X-Men Red.
I did read that.
Yeah, that was... I love the group. I thought the group that for X-Men Red, I really liked them, and I thought they had really... Tom Taylor gave them all really good voices and unique voices, but man, was he just heavy-handed with the persecution complex. The X-Men are on the run again. No one believes them. Everyone's after them. Woe is me. Like, ay, ay, ay. I get that Claremont hangs his hat on that, but, you know, it's already, it's a given. Like, it's already a staple. Like, everyone knows, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. You don't have to say that anymore. It's built into Spider-Man. You don't have to show little Bruce Wayne and the pearls falling in front of his face. You don't have to show that. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. But another one that I'm currently reading, which I did throw out to the listener already, Batman, Bruce Wayne, Fugitive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, buddy, what a murder mystery.
Yeah, it's
good. I still don't know what happens. I have no clue. And one of the best titles from that trade so far is Batgirl.
Huh.
Because it's Batgirl and Dick and Alfred walking through the timeline and trying to explain, how did she get hit? How did she record the 911 call? He must have done this to her. And the entire issue was Nightwing not ruling out Bruce doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't. There was no evidence to prove that he wasn't there. So he couldn't rule. And I just love that he's so impartial. And it just made me want, like, why is there not, why is Nightwing, why hasn't Nightwing become the old detective comic books? Like, they need that mystery, that detective book. Just make it Nightwing.
I mean, maybe now. Well, I don't know what they're going to do anymore with all these changes going on. But but the thing is that Dan Didio hated Nightwing, so that's why.
I know. But I just love that voice. And like I said, it was, the scary thing is, I'm sure as Uber Bat fans, people bought any Bat title that had to do with the crossover, the title crossover.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there was a portion of people that just never bought Batgirl.
Oh, yeah.
And so missed out. It was really, really good. Last night, I even posted on Twitter two standout pages from it that just the police procedural that he walked through was so cool. It just reminded me of Gotham Central. That's all.
So I think for next year, I might do Punisher, and I might do something I don't normally read, like Jonah Hex or something like that.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I don't know.
I always look for blind spots. That's a big draw for me.
Yeah.
But now, have you read with Punisher? Have you read the later Ennis stuff?
I've read some of the recent stuff that he's done with Punisher. That's pretty good.
No, I'm talking with like a Leonardo Francato.
Oh, and you throw names out and you lose me, bro.
Sorry. I think even Salvador LaRocca even did a run with him.
So I remember reading the LaRocca stuff, and I remember reading when Lewis was on there, LaRosa.
Mm-hmm.
I remember some of like the Warzone issues.
Okay.
But I don't know, man. I've just never been like super drawn to the Punisher.
Gotcha.
Like I'll jump on, and for some reason I just lose interest.
I hear you.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe. I got to think about this. What month is this? It's almost August, so I got 4 months.
I was going to say, you have plenty of time to.
Yeah.
And believe me, my two, the only reason I said that was I think X-Men Red sort of made me like, how much X-Men do I still have to read to even like sort of wrap my head around the entire run? Because we have decades of X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I went back and it's like, there's a lot that I've read. Don't get me wrong. It's probably the one title that I've read the most omnibuses of. But still, there are decades that I've never even picked one up.
Yeah, I've got a lot of holes in my X-Men too. For the same reason, I just lost interest.
Yeah.
You know, like when Jim Lee left, I was like, eh, F this, I'm out. And I didn't read it for, I don't know, 10 years.
Or it just got very same old, same old.
Yeah.
But it didn't. Like, going back, it's like every time I pick up one of the older ones, it's like, no, there's something here. maybe it was just finally I could break it up so I'm not reading it month to month so it doesn't all like blend together. They sort of stand out a little bit more now that they're in trades.
You know, I wouldn't mind doing like a chronological read. That could be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe. I got to think about that one. The thing with X-Men is that there's so many books.
There are.
So many. And then when I get into the 80s and 90s, I got to read all of them.
Yeah, I mean, what would be better, to start chronologically or just be like, I'm going to start with Claremont and I'm going to read the Claremont bits?
Well, yeah.
Because even that's what, 20 years?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, Jesus Christ.
But I wouldn't mind reading like some of the fun stuff from early on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's sort of what I do with Batman. I pepper in the really old stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I found, especially with Superman, actually Spider-Man, when I was reading his masterworks from beginning to current, like you can't, at least for me, I need to break that up just a little bit because I can't read like, oh my God, I'm going to read, you know, 50 issues starting from issue one all the way. Like, no, because it's just, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see that it's great to see the flow and the evolution of a title, but I still get that when I jump to the current stuff or jump to the Bronze Age and then go back. Like my brain can pick that right up. Well, I'm not worried about that.
I think the problem starts at the Bronze Age, right? Because before that, everything's one and done. And with the Bronze Age, you don't have that anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to think about it. I got some time. I mean, listen, I got to finish this Daredevil stuff. You know what I mean?
I'm dying to hear about this.
I got
to
finish the Daredevil. Right? I got suckered into reading the new series. Let me rephrase. I shouldn't say that. That's the wrong phrase.
At the end of the day, it does not sound like you were suckered by anything.
Listen, I was not
it
suckered.
It became your number one series.
Number one series. Comics. That's correct. I was not suckered. Nobody told me to. But I was like, you know what? I'm so behind on my comics. I was like at least a month behind on stuff, right? Like since they started publishing again.
And Daredevil's your spotlight character, right?
Daredevil's my spotlight character. And it's just been so long since I read the current series. So what I decided to do was reread the entire series. And Nick, it's the best book in comics right now, hands down. There is, listen, this we kind of went over this on Twitter a little bit, but I'll reiterate for the listening audience. The only book that comes close for me is Immortal Hulk, which was my previous best book in comics. But like it's not even close. It's like Daredevil is Mount Everest. And Immortal Hulk is like Mount St. Helens. And then the next runner-up behind that is like, I don't know, the hill down the street.
Wow.
Yeah. I just feel like those two books are that good. And it's crazy because they're Marvel and I've never been a Marvel guy.
Yeah, they're really good.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that little molehill is probably Batman right now, which is good. Because Batman has not been in my top three for many a year.
Saying something.
But the current run, I think, is really, really interesting. It feels more Batman to me.
That's
anyways,
good.
We're not going to talk about Batman tonight. We're not going to talk about the shiny new chrome suit that I hated. But then I read the issue and I was like, all right, I'll give it a chance. Did you see the chrome suit?
No, I haven't.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you, it would have been perfect in that sweet era of the Brave and the Bold, when you had like Rainbow Batman.
Oh wow, really?
That's like the feel it gives me. But I think when it's written into the story, it'll work out better. Well, it's already kind of written into the story, but when it's actually in the story, I think it might be interesting. Anyway, we're not gonna talk about Batman. We'll talk about Batman maybe next time. Actually, you know what? We're not going to talk about Batman until 100 comes out. We will talk about Daredevil. So this is Chip Zdarsky. Oh, God. Who's the artist? I should know the artist's name. Chiretto. Does that sound right?
It does.
Okay, good. This dude, I don't know what it is. Maybe I needed this pause because he's been the artist on this book since it started.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt like it was good. But coming back to this book, I'm like, this might be the best Daredevil art, like, ever.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. And the new costume is fucking awesome. And it looks just like a Daredevil costume.
Who would have thought?
But there's something about it that just, I don't know, it's got that oomph. Because it's not like a red leotard. It's like he's wearing combat pants, but they meld into the suit so well that it's still
functional.
It still has that leotard suit feel, but it looks like something somebody would wear if they were a superhero.
It's not form over function. There's actually practical function involved.
Same with the boots. He's always had boots.
Mm-hmm.
But they always look like he's wearing rain boots. You know what I mean? Like, this would be great if it's raining outside. Now it's like, this will give him some grip when he's, like, kicking the hand in the ass, right? Or, like, jumping across rooftops.
Are they more like Doc Martens type
yes.
of thing?
Yes.
Nice.
I love the new costume. It is pure perfection.
Wow.
It is the best Daredevil costume ever.
Dang.
You haven't seen it?
Oh, I think I've seen pictures of it, but I don't know if it really held me.
All right, fine. After we're done, just look up the new costume. It's awesome. And the crazy thing is, it's so simple. And that's what makes it so awesome.
Wow.
I love the new costume. And like I said, this artist, I don't know what it is. Maybe just like now I get it. But it's like it's really clean and like anatomically accurate, but in like a comic book way. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it's not like grossly comic book with like bulging muscles and this, that, and the other. It's like accurate anatomy, but you know what it's like? I just thought about it. I know what it reminds me of. Did you read? Oh God. Jason to kick my ass. What's the name of that book? Batman White Knight. Sean Murphy?
I have not.
Oh my God. All right, but you're familiar with Sean Murphy.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I wanted to say that book specifically because this Chichetto art, I hope that's his name, reminds me of Sean Murphy's art in White Knight. It's like that kind of style.
So really scratchy?
No, but better put together than that.
Okay.
Just like the way that Sean Murphy does the like faces and anatomy, take away the scratchy, and that's kind of like what Chichetto's like. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And the colors are amazing in this book. And Chip is like, where did Chip come from? What's going on here?
Why was he ever drawing? That's my question.
Like, I don't understand what has happened with Chip Zdarsky.
Right.
Because I always thought of Chip Zdarsky as like, let's bring the guy in to like make the funny haha jokes, right?
Oh, really? I always thought of him as an artist, and then all of a sudden he started to write all these other titles, and it's like every one is a home run.
Oh, no, I mean when he switched to writing.
Yes.
I always thought of him as like the haha funny guy because he loves Howard the Duck, and you know me. If there's one character I wish would burn in hell forever, it's Howard the Duck. And so, like, that's always the impression I've had of him. But it's not like I don't know that he's a good writer. Obviously, I know he's a good writer. When he was doing that book that should have been the Fantastic Four book, the Marvel team-up.
Yep.
I was like, holy shit. Like, this guy is on point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, so when he launched Daredevil, I was reading it when it came out, and yes, I did think it was great, but for some reason it wasn't hitting as well with me as it is right now, and I don't know if it's because I've read a lot more Daredevil now, so I'm more familiar with the character, or I don't know what it is.
Did you ever read Spider-Man: A Life Story by Chip?
Yes.
Okay, because that's free on Unlimited, yeah. And I highly recommend it. It's still probably my top book of last year.
Nice. Yeah, it's good.
It was so, yeah, he writes such a great original premise on, but yet he still makes whatever he's writing rooted in that history that every comic geek wants.
Well, and he makes the characters appear like people.
Yeah. It's not just nostalgia, all comic geeks want nostalgia to a point.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it's the characters that he's worked on that kind of lend to that a little bit. So Spider-Man does tend to lend to that a little bit. So does the FF, and especially Daredevil, right? Because Daredevil's just not a superhero. Like, he's got a day job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? How many other superheroes just have a day job? That's not, like, forced on them, right? Like, when Spider-Man became, like, basically the new Iron Man, right? And he had Parker Industries. Like, Spider-Man was awesome when he was, like, this dumb kid photographer. Spider-Man's not awesome when he's, like, the richest man in the world. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Daredevil lends himself to that kind of writing because he's just a regular dude who just so happens to be Daredevil at night. And when the man sleeps, I don't know, because he complains about not sleeping all the time. So I read this entire run. I read the first 21 issues back to back.
Dang.
Because really, it's one story. I mean, yes, it's broken up into arcs, but the stuff that's happening now in the Daredevil book directly impact what happened in the first arc. Are you reading the book, right?
Yeah, I got through the first two volumes so far. Okay.
So you know, very early on, he like runs over that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what we're dealing with now, because he turned himself in for murder, and now there's like this whole thing where like, how do we not go to prison basically forever? And Foggy comes up with a very ingenious legal speak way of getting him out of prison basically. It's just so good, man. Like, the interaction between Matt and Fisk is just like, yeah. I just love everything about this book. Like, Nick, literally everything about this title is perfect. Like, the writing is solid. The characters feel like real people. The art is beautiful. The colors are freaking phenomenal. The lettering, like, everything about this book is just pure mm-hmm. perfection. And you don't say that from a lot of comics.
Right.
And the thing is, like, I wouldn't consider Daredevil like a heavy hitter for Marvel either. Right? Like, they usually focus on the same stuff. They focus on like X-Men, they focus on Spider-Man, the Avengers, the worst title ever. We'll talk about that next. And Daredevil's never like a big deal.
No.
He's just like one of those like tried and trues, I guess, right? Like when yeah. Charles Soule was doing it, I love Charles Soule's run. And I think a lot of people are like picked up that book or came back to Daredevil as a result of Charles Soule being on it. And it's worth it because that's a fantastic run. But uh-huh. this one is the best. This is the best Daredevil book ever created in the history of the multiverse. Ever.
Wow.
Ever. And it's hands down the best comic in print.
Jeez.
With Immortal Hulk as number two. And I did not catch up on Immortal Hulk yet. I'm still like 6 inches behind.
Oh, God. You're listen, killing me.
I had to catch up on all these books.
You're killing
me. I had to catch up on all these books. I'm catching up, okay? I'm catching up. I already said it's the second best book. Obviously, I'm going to read it. But I just got sucked into this Daredevil thing, man.
Damn it.
That Chip for president. Chip Zdarsky 2020. That's all I'm going to say.
Have you even, with Immortal Hulk, can you remember back, have you even read some other Roxanne Corporation?
Bruh.
Nope. See? And that's the best one, and I thought it was going to be the worst The absolute worst arc. And it turned out to be my absolute favorite.
Hmm.
And that says a lot, because this current arc has the leader in it. And I love me some leader.
Oh, I love the leader. Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right,
can I ruin something just to give you a premise? It's not a point critical bit, because you find this out right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
The leader gets, of course, he develops technology, so he can go in and pretend that he's Rick Jones and hang out with the Hulk, all the while like the Hulk is being the good Hulk now. Like the brainy good Hulk.
Right.
Sort of like the Peter David run Hulk.
Right.
And he's in like a, he's doing a press conference in this town that he destroyed. So he comes back to do like good PR for this mayor in this town. As he's doing this press conference, Rick Jones is behind him. Of course it's the leader, and he can't help it. So he pulls out this stupid little gadget that shoots rays into the Hulk's head that turns him from like mild manner smart Hulk into all of a sudden having uncontrollable like rage impulses.
Mm.
And it's just like, that's the leader. That's exactly what I expect. He's just such a jerk. Oh, but it's so good. But the Roxanne Corporation, trust me, I thought that was just going to be a train wreck. Like, this is where the wheels fall off. Oh, my God. The way it ended was just so freaking brilliant. So.
All right. So the last issue I read, I was wrong. The last issue I read was 24. So I'm 11 issues behind.
Oh, God. That's like a year and a half behind. No, that's a year behind.
Is it that long?
11 issues.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, so they're monthly? Okay. All right. Fine. I'm a year behind.
Actually, even more. Probably a year and a half, because how many months were they not printing comic books?
Dang. How am I so behind?
No big deal. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't do what you did with Daredevil. I would figure out where the last arc ended. And if you have to go back two issues to like pick up the beginning of the arc that you're currently on, just do that.
Listen, I might need to start like earlier, because I'm looking over 24 to see if I can refresh my memory.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what's happening here.
Oh, buddy. It's really good. But I mean, I love your analog of Mount Rushmore, but I hate to say it, I think I would make both of them and put them both up on Mount Rushmore currently.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
They are, sure, Immortal Hulk can be 1B, but it's still 1B. Like, dang.
I'm trying to see what a good point. All right, I think I'm going to start with issue 10. So that's when Alpha Flight comes in. So I'm going to start there.
There you go.
So I don't have to go all the way back to the beginning.
Nah.
Even
though I gotta say the last issue still involves people from the first arc, which is completely bizarre, but pretty cool.
I like it. You know, the one thing about Immortal Hulk, this might actually be it. Like, the story is on par with Daredevil.
Uh-huh.
The art is not.
You don't like Joe Bennett?
I love Joe Bennett.
Okay.
I love Joe Bennett. Joe Bennett reminds me of an era of comics that I love.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I don't know, Nick. I don't know. It feels more comic booky, and I would want it. You know what? I'm wrong. I'm going to admit it right now. I wanted to say that I want this book to be more realistic. Okay?
What?
That I would want a guy like Chichetto or who did we talk about earlier? La Rosa and those guys.
What?
More of a realistic look. But the more I think about it, that is totally wrong. Because the stuff that happens in this book don't fit that art style. So I'm wrong. Joe Bennett is the perfect artist for this book.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I apologize.
I'm glad you see the error of your ways.
Yeah, I apologize. But it's very good. It's very good. I love it. You know what? I promise you, by the next time we talk, I will be caught up with Immortal Hulk.
It's strange to have that as my spotlight character this year. And I realize Al Ewing is not venturing into completely original material, but he's revisiting material that's been laid out decades before, but putting such a modern gothic horror spin on it, which I think that's the freshness.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it feels like...
because all of his personas, they've all been there. And it's just cool because I haven't read all these personas and now I am, it just makes all these tangents even that much more real. Like, it is so cool to see, like, wow, you know, they talked way back when about him having like different personalities. They might not have called it schizophrenia. They might not have called it split personality, but it was all sort of there. So it's really interesting how far back that went, that mental disorder, that mental condition, which is cool. I love it.
Is there a documentary on Peter David's Hulk?
I wish. My God, I would love that.
I don't know why. Maybe just a YouTube video. I gotta see, because I feel like before he got there, the Hulk was just like a trash character.
And yeah, then, in the same vein as Daredevil.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Before Frank Miller touched Daredevil, come on.
No, I agree though. I like the horror. And the thing is, this is like true horror, right? It's not like demon. I mean, like, there's magical stuff and like weird shit happening, yeah. But it's not like just purely like demons and magic and blood sacrifice and like zombies and whatever. There's like legit tension.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's the, now it's dealing with science. I like the modern aspect of like dealing with science, dealing with mental disorder. It seems like everybody that's around Hulk, they're all fractured.
Right.
And that's so, like, even Dr. Samson, completely fractured. But it's really done in an interesting way. And it took Ewing how many issues? 30 issues now? 26 issues? Before the leader even came into this. Or any big Hulk villain. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. You know what's not impressive? All right, listen. We're gonna take it down many a notch right now. But then we're gonna kick it up a notch. So I have okay. One comic that I'm gonna briefly talk about, and then one documentary I'm gonna briefly talk about, and then we can wrap up.
Okay? Is the comic book Avengers? Because I'm dying to hear your opinion on Avengers.
All right.
Okay.
The
All
bell
right.
went off. All right. I love Jason Aaron's Thor. I like Jason Aaron's indie work.
What about Jason? Okay, I'm just going to give you some Jason Aaron stuff.
Okay, cool.
What about Jason Aaron's Conan?
Yes, I like that.
What about Jason Aaron's Ghost Rider?
Did I read that? I don't know if I read that.
What? Are you serious?
Right, I'm going to look this up right now. I don't think I read that.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Jermaine Opeña?
You know, all right, I'm going to say it right now. At the end of July, I'm going to make Ghost Rider one of my adopted characters for next year.
Oh, you're killing me, Johnny.
Jason Aaron, Ghost Rider. Okay, I put it on my list.
Okay. What about Jason Aaron's Thor?
Yeah, I love that.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Did he write, because now I have to figure this out. I think he did. What about Jason Aaron Wolverine?
I have read that. Pretty good.
I liked a lot of that.
Yeah.
I was a sucker for that. Did he do, I want to say he did. Did he do that crossover event or the event, the Marvel event?
Yes.
Of the Beyonder?
Yes.
And where did you fall on that?
It was pretty good.
Yeah, that was one where the wheels sort of came off. What about Jason Aaron's Punisher?
I didn't read the whole thing, but I remember reading it, so I'm going to say yes. It was probably fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, that has to be a lukewarm review if you barely remember it.
Yeah.
What about the title that he went from that brought him into Thor? And to be honest with you, after this is already going to color, and you'll already know my opinion. When he was writing this title before Thor, when I heard he got Thor, I was like, oh no, Thor's going to go backwards. Oh no. His writing on Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, that was not good.
No. That's why I was really worried for Thor. Yeah, Original Sin. That was the crossover thing. Okay, but Jason Aaron Avengers. I have yet to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I have it. I could read it. Mm. But there's, I think it's the group, the makeup of the group.
Mm-hmm.
That made me like, are you freaking kidding me right now? So give me the 411.
All right, let me give you the 411. Let me preface by saying that I know I'm not crazy because I've scoured the internets for opinions. Because if I really don't like something, I'm like, maybe I'm just wrong, right? And so I try to find other opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the reception to this book is very lukewarm.
Wow.
Okay. When it was announced that he was going to be writing Avengers, I was like, hell yeah.
Definitely.
This could be awesome. Right? Because mm-hmm. he was just wrapping up Thor. I'm like, cool. Let's see where this goes. Although, like, the later Thor stuff wasn't as good
mm-hmm.
as when he's, like, in the middle of his run. But still, like, it was still good. So I was like, all right, cool. And like, the team was weird. But I was like, eh, whatever. But then the premise was also weird. Because you have, like, the 1 million BC Avengers.
Right.
And the modern Avengers. I'm like, I don't know about this either. But whatever. Like, I started reading it. And I don't know, man. It's just like, I feel like there are writers that are, like, really good writers, but just don't know how to write a team book.
Mm.
And who did I have this with? Who's that guy? What's his name? Bendis.
Yes.
Listen, and you know what? He also worked in Avengers. Listen, the Avengers are, like, the pillar of the Marvel Universe. Why is it not always the greatest book that you put out?
Well, it should be, but, you know, sometimes it isn't.
It should be pure perfection every single time.
Well, that's why you get a Bendis or a Jason Aaron to do it.
Okay.
Because that's what you're hoping for.
But neither one of those are anywhere near perfection.
I'll disagree. I think Bendis had a good run there for at least a year on all of the Avengers books.
All right, you're being very nice. I would say like 6 or 7 issues.
No, I would disagree. I think he had a few stories that he wanted to get out, and then you could tell when those original stories that he had in his head for years, when those ran out. And same with his X-Men run. He had a great kick-ass beginning, and then you could just tell that it pootered off.
See, for me, like, it pootered off halfway through that Kang the Conqueror arc.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah. All right.
And again, that was pretty early on, so, like, issue 6 or 7, I would say.
And Kang's your man.
Kang's my man.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the modern day.
Yes.
Because Nick Wetmore.
Oh.
There are certain characters that I really love in comics. And I tend to be hard on writers when they ruin those characters.
Ooh.
Of course, Batman, everyone knows about this. That's not a secret. Although I'm happy to be happily reading Batman again. Mostly happily, at least.
Good, good.
So that's my number one. What's my number two favorite character?
Moon Knight.
Where's my bell? All right, Moon Knight. Number two. I am missing, well, I apparently was missing three. Now I'm missing one appearance of Moon Knight ever in history of comics.
Oh.
Okay, Werewolf by Night 32. Still don't own it. That's okay.
Oh, no.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, no.
Every other one I own. I love the character. He's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
We have a Moon Knight Anonymous group set up. Okay. This group consists of Mike Coonrad. It consists of Andrew Shaw. It consists of Greg from Valiant Comics. Greg Katzman. And myself. Uh-huh. Okay.
Nice.
These are the core Moon Knight fans of all comicsdom. Okay, there are no greater fans than us four.
Sorry, Ronnie.
Listen, Ronnie's not in that group. Okay? Ronnie likes Moon Knight, but not like us.
I just said sorry. I'm backing you up. All
right. So the other day, I'm hanging out, and I get a good message from Greg, and we're talking Valiant stuff, of course. And he's like, hey, are you reading Avengers? I said, no, I dropped out of Avengers because when the book came out, I was very excited. I read it and I was like, eh. So I dropped out after the first arc because I'm a good boy, right? If a book comes out, I usually give it an arc. And
was it the Ed McGuinness art that threw you?
No, it was a story.
Okay.
The art, I like the art. I just didn't like the story. And so I dropped out. And this happens all the time. And it saddens me, Nick. It saddens me to no end. Because the first comic I ever read in my entire life was The Avengers. And in the ensuing 30 years of my life, I cannot read an Avengers book for longer than 6 months.
Wow.
Because they're just not good. So, fast forward back to the present. I'm talking to Greg. We're talking, have you read The Avengers? No, I dropped that after the first arc. He's like, well, you might want to check it out. Moon Knight's in it.
Ooh.
I said, whoa, my boy, Moon Knight. Nobody told me Moon Knight was on The Avengers. Shame on all of you listening, because you should make me aware of these things. There's too many comics coming out. I can't keep track of all this stuff. All right, I can't keep track. I'm sure
that sounds like more of a Martin issue than anyone.
Listen,
just to let you know.
I'm sure eventually I would have found out that Moon Knight showed up in a comic, and so I would have gone out and bought it. I buy all Moon Knight appearances in physical comics, not digital. I buy physical copies, just like Batman. I buy physical copies. So I said, no, I wasn't aware. Nobody told me. He's like, check it out, read it, let me know what you think. I hope I'm not getting Greg in trouble with this, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I just thought about that. We'll call him Craig Gatzman. All right. So Craig's like, go check it out. And then we'll talk about it. I said, all right. So what do I do, Nick? As soon as he tells me this, I get up out of my chair. I go talk to my wife, and I said, I'll be right back. Do you need anything? She says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the comic store. She's just like right now in the middle of the day, just randomly. I said, yes. Apparently there's a comic I have to read. She's like, I thought you read them on that website thing. And I was like, yes, but this one I have to go to the comic store to buy. She says, all right, whatever. I don't need anything. So I go.
Woman, don't ask me.
So I go to the comic book store, I go to the rack, I pick up these two issues that I'm missing, okay? I can't remember how many issues in it is, 34, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So I go to the rack. I pick up 33 and 34. They have copies of both of these. And I look at them, and Moon Knight's on the cover. And I'm like, hell yeah, this is exciting. I pay for my comics, run back home. Okay, and
great.
Greg messaged me. And I'm like, dude, I just left the comic store. I'm on the way back home. I'll read it and I'll tell you. I said, all right. So I get home. I read these books.
Nice. Sounds now, like a perfect day.
Well, it was perfect up to this day because I had this exact day finished catching up with my Daredevil run.
Nice.
So, of course, I'm on a high. Best book in comics.
But jumping into a car, running to a comic book store, you're in your element. Of course, thank God the comic book store has the issues. Like, everything's fallen into place. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect day so far.
Mm-hmm.
Get home. I open up these comics. I start reading. I said, did I miss something? Should I have gotten 32? Because I'm not sure what's happening here.
Uh-oh.
And so I get to the end of this issue, 33. And I'm like, all right, that's all right. Like, it's the start of an arc. Whatever. I guess I'll be gentle.
Did you read all of the issues up to this point, or you just jumped to 32?
I just jumped to this issue, 33, I think it is. Whatever. Moon Knight showed up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hadn't read since issue like 4 or 5.
But it's comics. They throw in the little like Stan Lee, let me catch up debate. Yeah.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, you're all caught up. Why do you need to get any more?
I don't care about that stuff. I just want to read Moon Knight.
Okay. Of course you do.
So I'm like, all right, lukewarm. Like, I see what the setup is. Like, cool stuff happens. Like Moon Knight basically like kicks all of the Avengers' asses. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, he doesn't do it in an awesome way. It's like, hey, Thor, I'm here for your hammer. And Thor's like, you're not getting my hammer. And Moon Knight's like, yes, I am. Come here, hammer. You're made of moonstone. The end.
Huh.
Okay, like... the plot of this issue literally reads like an outline.
That's what it sounded like.
And this happens with like multiple Avengers.
Wow.
Right? Like Iron Man, Black Panther, Thor, etc.
Is he writing Moon Knight in a way that's like his version of Deadpool?
I'm going to give you the exact thing that I told Greg here in a minute.
That's what it sounds like when it's like Moonstone. Like, did he really do that? Or is he being like, is that all in his head? Where it's just like, wink, Moonstone. Like, that's something Deadpool would have done. Had this little fantasy running through his head.
Dude, I don't even know.
Sounds like we should be writing comic books.
hang on, let me see if I can find this. He starts off fighting Iron Fist.
All right, that's a good fight. I'd like to see that.
He goes to Kung Lung and he's like, I'm here for the fist. He's like, it's me, bro. Danny, I'm the Iron Fist. He's like, nah, bro, you don't get it. I'm here for the Iron Fist. Let's fight.
Wow. He didn't pull out the Iron Stone and pull his Iron Fist ability out of him and into him.
Listen, he apparently fights Ghost Rider in this issue. And it's so fast that the only reason I realized it happened is because he's driving off in Ghost Rider's car.
Oh, so it's Robbie Reyes?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, hey, I'm trying to find... Okay, here it is.
Did he also get Robbie's nose? He's like, got your car, and then he reaches out and does the finger thing. Got your nose, too. Whoop, dude, whoop, whoop.
It was so fast. I don't even know. I don't even know if Robbie showed up. I think he just, like, stole the car.
What happened?
You know what? That's exactly what happened. Now I just thought about it, because Robbie never even, like, became Ghost Rider. He, like, woke up, and he's like, where's my car?
God.
Oh, man. Why did you make me remember that?
what the hell happened to everyone's writing for the trade, so we have to make these comic books like way too padded and like this sounds so condensed down to like, oh yeah, he fought Thor for a half a page and now he fought Iron Fist for a half a page.
Moon Knight fought the entire Avengers team in 20 pages.
That is such a condensed... Wow.
And fought each of them individually. Okay? All right. Let me read you
this
scene. Okay? Thor shows up. By the way, worst looking Thor ever. He looks like Beta Ray Bill. Anyways.
Hmm.
And it's not. It's Thor.
Is that Odin's son or whatever?
Yes, Odin's son.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, he throws the hammer at Moon Knight, okay? The hammer's glowing. He throws it at him, right? Because he's like, I'm here for your hammer. He's like, nah, bro. He's like, you're not going to, you know, mess with me like you mess with the rest of the team. Bam, Mjolnir, like, here you go. And Moon Knight's just like, he's just chilling, right? He's like, you have wielded this hammer for hundreds of years, and you still don't know what it is. And he puts his hand out, and the hammer just stops in midair. Thor's like, what in the name of the gods? And Moon Knight says, all you know is that it's made of unbreakable Uru. But what is Uru? You might have been told that Uru is as old as the universe itself, that it's rubble from the days of creation, a vestige from the great splintering. This is true. Uru, it's all that's left of the very first orb of the night. In other words, Thor, your hammer is made of moon rock. And then he just, like, throws it back at Thor and beats the shit out of him with the floating hammer. All right. So I read this whole issue, and I'm like, all right.
Who drew this, by the way?
Oh, hell, I don't even know.
Oh, come on. Just look at the front page. Tell me the last name. It's not McGinnis. Is it Sarah Pacelli?
Javier Garon.
Wow. Okay.
Not familiar.
Different
art. No. Not familiar. All right. So I read this issue and I'm like, all right, cool. Like he beats up all the Avengers, but like really fast. Why so fast?
Sure.
And like, what's the setup? I'm sure it's going to come in the next issue.
What's the motivation for even doing that?
No idea right now.
Wow.
Okay.
It's a mystery that you could care less of.
you know that Khonshu wants him to have these abilities. That's all you know. All right. Issue 34 comes out, and I read it. I'm hoping for some, you know, like we pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
Guess where we pick up? Not where we left off. We pick up like weeks later, and Khonshu is using all these Avengers ability to remake the world in his own image. Okay, so. Like, you're in New York City, and there's, like, pyramids everywhere. And, like, zombie mummies.
But that's not the first time you've ever heard that story.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I've read that story before.
But wait.
Okay.
For some reason, Moon Knight's not happy about any of this stuff right now.
Hmm.
So he's going to, like, the temple to find Khonshu and be like, what the F, bro? And like the whole like the cult of Khonshu's there, and they're like, he doesn't want you here, blah blah blah. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like he just wanted him to get all the stuff, and now like here we are, where Mark doesn't want to do this and wants to kick Khonshu's ass.
Huh.
Also, Khonshu is cowering in a corner, by the way, because he's deathly afraid. Because as it turns out. We learn why this had to happen in the previous issue, because Mephistopheles is going to be invading Earth, and apparently Khonshu is deathly afraid of the devil.
Huh.
Okay, and so he had Moon Knight steal all the Avengers' like power, except T'Challa. We'll talk about that in a second. T'Challa is like in chains. At the Temple of Khonshu. But he had him steal all these powers, so he would be powerful enough to defeat Mephistopheles. Or Mephisto. But Moon Knight's like, I can't do it. And he's like, you don't need to. I'm going to do it. Like, all right. I guess Khonshu's going to fight Mephisto. Except, like...
But I thought he was cowering in a corner.
He was.
But now he's ready to defeat him.
But now he's ready to defeat him.
What?
And he doesn't even fight him. Moon Knight fights him. And he beats Mephisto in, like, a page and a half. He basically has, like, his Moon Knight Ankh symbols... like spider webbed onto Thor's hammer and just like rams it through Mephisto's chest and Mephisto dies.
Of course he does.
So by this point I'm like, what's happening right now? Why am I reading this?
Sounds like you need to read on.
I do need to read on because T'Challa shows back up. He's in chains. Because his power is in his blood, and Mark doesn't want to kill the guy to get the Black Panther power out of his blood. So there's this whole spiel between the two. I don't know. This book is terrible.
Wow.
Okay, it's terrible. Like the art's fine. It's not my favorite, but the art's fine. But what is happening? Why? How long is this arc? Like
so that's the last issue?
No, there's at least one more. I'm assuming two more, but there's at least one more.
No, I'm saying that's the latest issue.
Yes, this is the latest issue.
And what did Craig Gatzman have to say about it?
Oh, wait, by the way, at the end, Moon Knight turns into Ghost Rider. I forgot to tell you that. And gets in the car. Yes.
with the flaming skull inside the head?
Yeah, with the flaming skull.
That I sort of like.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. That's the only thing that sounded cool so far.
Yes. There's something about Starbrand too. Like I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. Okay, I don't know.
This team is not the strongest team. That's all.
The book ends with Captain Marvel, Iron Man, and Starbrand. Like Starbrand's picking his boogers. And, like, they're about to fight some zombie mummies. I don't know what's happening. Why is this happening? Why me, Nick?
Wasn't the arc before this, like, the Avengers versus vampires?
I mean, do I need to read that? Is that what's going on?
Honest to God, I think it was.
I mean, is Moon Knight in it? Does he show up? Because otherwise I don't care.
You just got the Moon Knight stuff right there. I don't think he was in it before.
Moon Knight is in this book, and I don't care.
Wow. Well, what did Greg Gatzman have to say?
So I said,
is he echoing your opinion?
So I said, well, I read it. I said, well.
Did you thank him for thank you for making me waste $15?
Let me pull up this conversation here. Man, we sure talked
about that. just to let you know, I'm telling you right now, I do not want to have the same conversation with you ever. I do not want you to say, I need you to read this. And then I read it and you're like, wasn't that a pile of shit? Yeah. Dude, I don't want to, unless you're like, let me gift you this issue because I want to know if you think it's a pile of shit. Then at least I didn't spend my money on a pile of shit. I never want to have that conversation with you, just to let you know.
All right. This is what I said. I said, well. Do I regret driving 30 minutes to pick these up? No. Were they good issues? Nope. And he says, it's only Moon Knight by name, right? And then in all caps, I could smell your moon magic from across the ocean.
Wow. Is that actually a line from the comic?
Dude, the way it was written. Sure.
Or it might have been.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
Was that what he said? Is that what he said? Like Submariner said to him? What he said to Submariner?
Sure. So he said, I'm going to keep buying some Marvel Sees Moon Knight sells, though. And I said, thanks for the heads up, but by every appearance, I didn't know these were out. Maybe eventually. With that said, I like Jason Aaron. His story runs amazing. But I don't think he has ever read a Moon Knight book in his life. This feels like someone had a meeting with him, gave him the cliff notes, and he's like, cool, I can work with that. That's a little bit what I said. Like, that's what it feels like, Nick. It's like, you know, when somebody picks up a book, they always go back and read a bunch of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they might pick a specific era or maybe, like, the previous run or whatever if they're not familiar with it. Or, like, try to get acquainted in some way. And like, yes, Khonshu's there and Moon Knight's there. And, like, there's some things that, like, maybe. And you get, like, the multiple personality thing at the end. Like, okay, that's fine. But it was more like, all right, Jason, we're going to put Moon Knight in this book. And he's like, I don't even like Moon Knight. They're like, yeah, but like editorial wants Moon Knight in it because he doesn't have a book. So like, we want you to write him, right? Like, you're the Avengers guy. Moon Knight showed up in the Avengers one time. Like, you should do it. And Jason's like, all right, I just don't know much about this guy. Tell me about Moon Knight. And they're like, you know, he gets his powers from the moon and he's a knight. And, you know, a bunch of guys try to write him, but, like, it's always different. And lately he's been a crazy guy. So, like, throw a little bit of that crazy guy thing in there. But, like, just make him your own. And they're like, well, what's his powers? He's like, oh, you know, moon stuff. He's like, all right. That's, like, literally what it feels like, Nick. That's what it feels like. I don't think – listen, I know Jason Aaron doesn't listen.
What?
Newsflash. Jason Aaron doesn't listen to this podcast. And I'm sure no one will even bother telling him what I said on this podcast. But in the case that Jason Aaron listens to this or hears about what I just said, I want him to know that I truly 100% meant every single word that I said. This is by far the worst interpretation of Moon Knight I've ever seen in any comic in my entire life.
And wow. There
has been some really bad Moon Knight done.
Uh-huh.
This is not Moon Knight. It's some guy with a Moon Knight costume. But it is not Moon Knight. It's like when I watch the Joker movie, and my wife hates when I say this. And I just thought about it because we just rewatched it again this week. The Joker is a fantastic movie. It's a terrific movie. I don't care what anybody says. It's a beautiful movie.
Uh-huh.
But it is not a Joker movie.
Uh-huh.
This is not the Moon Knight. It's also not even good. It's not even a good, like, make-believe Moon Knight. It is terrible. And I apologize. But it's true.
Can I ask you your thoughts on another team book that included Moon Knight?
Yes.
Secret Avengers.
That was Brubaker. That was all right.
Yeah, he was only in, what, the first trade?
Yeah, that was fine. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, he just wasn't utilized all that much. He was just a utility player.
Look, he never is. Nobody knows what to do with the guy. That's why you get this retelling where, like, all they focus on is this mentally ill guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, there's that, but, like, that's not what the character is. So, I will request, once again, many years later, Marvel Comics, please let me write a Moon Knight comic book. Just a one shot. It can be digital only for free. Okay? I don't even need to get paid for it. Okay? Like, pay an artist. Like, that'd be cool if there was a good artist on it. But just, like, just let me write one comic of Moon Knight. Because I love Moon Knight, and I think I understand the character. And the stuff that's being done is just not Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it was great. Don't get me wrong. The Warren Ellis stuff was great. And, like, even the Jeff Lemire stuff was good, but the problem was Jeff Lemire was just really just copying Warren Ellis. So it's not, like, a new thing, right?
Yep.
But that's all I want. I just want, like, just give me one good Moon Knight comic book.
Mm.
The series that they did last year or whatever it was, it was fine. But, like, it wasn't Moon Knight either. But at least I knew what was going on. I don't know what's happening here, Nick. I don't know what's happening.
Well, I know what's happening. In 30 days, you'll go and buy another issue of Avengers.
And then never again until Moon Knight shows back up.
Well, you'll buy him until the arc's over.
Yes, that's
That's
true.
What you'll do.
That's true. I will do that.
Yeah. So does that make you part of the problem?
Yep.
Possibly.
For sure.
Possibly.
But listen, but does it make me part of the solution? Because if
you already offered a solution.
Maybe if I don't buy it, nobody else buys it. And then Marvel's like, well, nobody buys this book. We're just going to shelve it for 20 years.
No, your solution is you'll write it for free.
Maybe you should just write it and put it on, like, Webtoons. I can call it, I don't know.
Don't swap out the letters on that.
That's why I had to pause for a second.
I know it's late. I know you're tired, but don't swap out those letters.
We'll call them Lunar Night. Lunar Daytime. I don't know, something. God damn it. Why, Nick?
I just can't believe you bought them. At some point, you have to be like, I mean, my favorite characters, but there's a point where it's like, yeah, I'm not going to buy that. No. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, if I get another arc like this, I will never read this book again. You know what I mean?
I think you should go back and read the vampire version. The vampire trade that's
no,
before it.
Listen, after reading this, I don't want to read Jason Aaron for a very long time.
Wow. Shots fired.
Unless it's like Scalped. But I don't know the Scalped. I'll read the shit out of that.
Yeah, his image stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, so that's my Avengers story. I hope it was enlightening.
Maybe put Chip Zdarsky in charge of Moon Knight. That might work.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Or Al Ewing. Al Ewing, I think, could write a killer Moon Knight.
Heck yeah. But let's not take either of them off their current books.
No, they got to stay on their current books. But also get them to work together to write Moon Knight with Leandra Fernandez on art.
Nice.
Okay. All right, cool. So because that was such a downer story for this last bit, and very quick because we've gone very long, and this is not Game Crunch Retrocast or anything like that.
No.
Did you watch the Todd McFarlane documentary?
No, I did not.
Oh, Nicholas Tiberius Wetmore.
We should shelve this, and I'll watch that next time.
Okay, good.
Also, can we watch something else together?
Yes.
There's a 30-minute Alec Ross documentary that came out last week.
Oh, where's that at?
YouTube.
Okay, good. Do you know what the name of it is?
It's on the Alex Ross YouTube channel.
Alex Ross Art 2020 documentary. Hashtag Alex Ross Kingdom Come and Visit It, How to Paint Realistically.
There you go.
Okay, good.
Don't know how much of a documentary that's going to be, but it's only a half hour, so why not watch it?
So let me pull up what this Todd McFarlane thing is called. Ah, here it is. It is on the Sci-Fi Wire YouTube channel.
Okay.
So it is called Todd McFarlane Like Hell I Won't. It is fantastic. It's 45 minutes long. We'll talk about it next time.
Great. Sign me up.
You got anything else, buddy?
No, Pally.
Ah, man.
Other than, let's go read some good Moon Knight.
I feel like I need to go, like, jog around the neighborhood right now.
You need to read a little bit of Bill Sienkiewicz Moon Knight. Get a good taste back in your mouth.
That might be a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of The Nerd Illusion with Nick and Martin. God, we did 3 hours, Nick. This is almost like a Geek Brunch.
Not really. Even their shortest episode's 5 hours, so.
Yes, this is true. Anyways, you can find us on Twitter @NickWentmore, @GeekFun, @NerdLegion. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Bye.